full show for you tonight, actually. But welcome to the show. I think we just got the, just getting the cam up and running here for everybody who's listening in the chat room. And we'll get underway. Basically, it is, you know, E3 took place last week. We've been away from you for a while now. And back with tons and tons of news. You've probably been following along at home as well. Lots to see, lots to talk about, lots to hear coming up on this episode of Evil Avatar Radio. We've got the full crew in here tonight. We've got Jeremy, who's adjusting the cam. Let me let you know here what it looks like for you.
That's okay. I'll watch it.
Okay.
You do the thing.
There you go. Jeremy adjusting the cam. We've also got Daniel sitting next to him, then Dennis next there, and then, of course, James over here. And we've got the gals in the booth, Dana and Sam, doing their own little thing in there. So probably messing around with my iPhone. But anyway, lots of stuff coming up this hour on the show and next hour as well. Let's go into E3. I was there. You guys watched it on TV. How was G4's coverage?
They were very proud of themselves for not interrupting Microsoft's press conference. I'm serious.
Yeah, they were. They were really...
They were like, they could not contain themselves. They were so pleased at what is apparently for them an extraordinary accomplishment.
Yeah.
Was it constant reminders of, don't forget, we're not going to go to commercial, you know?
Yeah, it absolutely was. It's like they were selling me something, and I suppose they were. Please keep watching me, because I'm not going to do you quite so wrong this time.
Although, the talking afterwards was
they mentioned the fact that that was the uninterrupted coverage probably about like 10 times, which was quite interesting to me.
And they went to, you know, they went to commercial as soon as it was over, like they'd been holding their breath.
They had to pee.
Well, they took several commercials just before too.
Yeah, they did. It was awful. Yeah. And I tell you, it was merely interesting how they handled the very end of the Microsoft press conference, because for the entire time, it had either been close-ups of whatever individuals on stage, or a full screen view of whatever video was being shown at the time, gameplay or otherwise. And then for the very last thing, the camera pulled out to a point where all the cameras for the wide shots were, all the interviews and everything, where they were taking the place at the back of the auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the camera view we were looking at, and there was a little thing up in the top right that said this camera view was at the request of Microsoft. We couldn't tell what it was because the screen was extraordinarily small down there at the front, and it wasn't until about two-thirds of the way through that it started to dawn on me what was actually going on, and
we
that it was
got,
the Final Fantasy XIII announcement.
We got back to the hotel later that night, and we followed the thread for Microsoft's press thing on EVAV. We started a little bit before they went to the Final Fantasy thing, just watching people saying, oh, what's going on here? Uh-oh, what's this? What's this? Here it goes, here it goes. And then just a bunch of WTFs.
Yeah,
what's
right.
going on? What is this? And they had to constantly tell you that this is the request of Microsoft. We can't treat it. Meanwhile, people in the crowd there, whipping out the cams, the phones, whatever, that they could take video of. Because as soon as it says, please, no footage, don't take video of this trailer, whatever, that's when, you know, don't press this button. That's when everybody presses that button. And so that's exactly what happened there, which you can find it now. But yeah, the big one, Final Fantasy XIII, or the big save, the big reveal at the end, I suppose. They've always got something.
Yeah.
There's always something. And I was kind of curious what it would be.
That was a... That's
big
felt
for a lot
of
people.
Oh, it's big all the way around. It has a major impact on things, because that title was going to push systems on the Sony side of things. We all know that. That was, you know, that was them giving a little stink eye to Sony, I think, saving that for the end.
Yeah.
It definitely. They had an
rang of that.
You know, it wasn't earth-shattering, but the quality of Microsoft's press event was really, really high. You know, with the exception of, with the exception of Fallout, it was very funny because we saw Fallout, and that was excellent. Like, I was extremely excited.
I think that was the first one we saw.
There's some gameplay of Fallout, which was, it was good. It didn't take me to any place I wasn't at already with my anticipation. I had long ago made peace with the idea of Oblivion with guns, as far as that game was concerned. I didn't particularly mind that. At least in my opinion, that video reinforced that. So I didn't really care about that. I saw more or less what I had expected to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pleased, and I was really happy. Everything after that was kind of fun, though. It was like, here's RE5 and co-op. Here's Fable 2 with co-op.
Yeah.
here's Gears of War 2, obviously with co-op. Like that was,
yeah,
that was very like, that was very interesting to me.
But maybe maybe that's why you got the order you got it in.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But I liked all of their announcements. I mean, I know we didn't see anything further about Resident Evil 5, but what did I have to see? Here's Resident Evil 5. It plays like Resident Evil 4, and there's this other guy you're with. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Thanks. I just bought your game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You just sold me, because I'm a sucker.
Yeah, well, Fable 2 had an interesting way of doing their little...
I had a hard time getting my head around what was going on there. I really think that Molyneux knows what he's doing when he's putting together a game. He does not know what he's doing when he's trying to sell a presentation
yeah.
of that game.
Yeah.
He to way, many thousands way oversells of, everything he does.
Well, and, but at the same time, he was kind of like, yeah, you know, so it's this, so whatever. Like, it's yeah, it does this.
But when he was showing, I mean, knowing what Fable was, you know, having been disappointed originally when the first Fable came out because I thought it was going to be a lot of things that it wasn't. But knowing what Fable was and seeing what Fable 2 could do on top of that, I got kind of excited.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've got the arcade titles coming out in just a bit, coming out next month, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That tie into Fable 2, where you can play those little games and win money for yourself when Fable 2 finally releases,
yeah.
Which is a neat little aspect of it. I kind of like that as well.
Is it when Molyneux says things like, your world and your character are totally unique to your game?
Yeah.
No, they're not. I promise you they're not totally 100%. In yeah. all aspects unique. They're yeah. not. They can't be.
It was a little odd watching
you,
that video.
You will not be the only person playing the giant evil dark overlord, I swear to you.
Yeah. It will be different in certain ways to your all your buddies, but
yeah,
there's going to be a lot of the same stuff in there.
You have to calculate every statement he makes against the degree of eccentricity that he has.
Yeah.
You have to dial down the bombast the same way you dial down the gamma.
Yeah. Like, yeah,
it's exactly
taken a while
the same
to learn
thing.
How to parse his statements,
yeah.
but I
and
finally...
it's very specific with him. It's very, very specific with mm-hmm. him. But if you know, reduce his emphasis by somewhere around 30%, you sort of like land in the zone where he's actually trying to pitch at you. You know, and it's like, okay, I get what you're saying about totally unique in the history of creation.
Right.
What you actually mean is an awful lot of variation between me and what my friends are doing.
Right.
That's yeah. what you actually mean. So I get what you're doing. You
the
don't
co-op system was really, really nice.
It freaked me out a little bit. I was like,
so I just
what are those balls?
Those are all my buddies
what
playing
are those glowing
the single
balls
player.
Doing?
That's awesome.
And like, I don't know why that had never occurred to anybody before or me or anyone. It's like, you know, wherever, if someone else on your friends list is playing the game, this is where they are in their game.
Very MMO-ish.
But even beyond that,
yeah.
like it's more than that. It's
like how everybody would crowd around.
It's less and more. It's like
Atlas.
It's a subtle understanding of what other people are doing. It didn't, at least from what we could tell on, you know, with it televised, it didn't appear to be terribly intrusive. And
yeah.
I imagine you'll be able to maybe see it or not see it if whether
I'm sure that yeah you have an option.
The option will exist, but it, what a honestly very clever way of dealing
with it. It's gonna bug the hell out of me if somebody picks my sphere to start following around, and I'm walking around this little ball of light. He won't join my game. He'll just follow me wherever I'm going. I'm like, go away.
Oh, I'll be that guy. I'm going to follow Scott everywhere.
That would.
I think we should all gang up and actually just have a whole crowd that tags along behind him.
A whole bunch of Tinkerbells around.
And then we'll make fun of you later.
No, I thought it was very neat. I didn't feel like I saw nearly enough in the presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Time limited as it was. But, I think I was more impressed by the method of the drop-in, drop-out co-op
yeah.
than the fact of its existence.
Yeah,
I thought he was going to say that. You know, when he said that your co-op's going to be unique, I thought, oh man, somebody's going to be that stupid dog. Somebody's going to be the dog.
Yeah.
But and then when he said no, it wasn't going to be like that, I was like, oh, that's nice. It started to. I don't know if I got a little worried or just plain confused when the video went slow-mo dynamic on bird poop.
That was it was very funny watching that. I was like, the first thought was obviously, I'm watching bird poop.
Yeah.
Like this very well designed
cinematic
is focusing on bird poop. My second thought was like 2 million other people just had the same thought.
Yeah.
we all
like, what an amazing experience that many people simultaneously thought, am I looking at bird poop? what an amazing thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if someone like him put that in there just to initiate that kind of thought process. But at the same time, it was like they invited Kojima over for a day. And was like, you can do one thing. You can add one thing to our cinematic. Like, it was just weird like that. But
slow-mo the bird poop.
It was fine. It was fine. I mean, because it took you from this very haughty, high-toned thing,
ethereal and whatever,
down to like this very.
Look at all this pretty
basic
land you're looking at, and the castles, and then bird poop.
And
very, very detailed and
slow-mo. Actually, you know
what?
It reminded me, and the world in general does to a little degree. It was very Terry Gilliam. That's what it was.
Yeah,
that was a very Terry Gilliam form of direction.
It was very Kojima.
So it was interesting. I liked that. And like, you know, Gears, it's like, I don't need you to talk to me about it.
I know
it's Gears. I felt how I did about the first one. I'm probably gonna feel the same way, but I'm also gonna I'm down for Gears 2.
I was the same way. Nick was really excited about it. But then again, he got to have some hands on time with it at some exclusive party that Guy gets into all the time. That I had to stay at the hotel and not get to go to.
It's okay, you know why?
I'm glad you're not bitter.
I know, but he met DiMaggio from Futurama.
That's fun.
Yeah. So I was a little jealous on that.
You know, and I was looking at the Gears stuff, and it didn't seem that. To me, I wasn't that impressed.
Well, it was Gears as Gears.
It looked like more of the same to me.
Which is exactly what it was. I was not terribly impressed by Gears 1. There were a lot of things about its interpretation of that kind of shooter that I didn't really care for, but I also co-opted. I played through it single player once, co-opted through it 3 times. Obviously, yeah. I didn't hate the game.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hate it either. I think as far as the sequel goes, it's not being nearly as innovative and changing as a lot of other sequels that we're seeing coming out now.
I think that that's perfectly fine. I think that the only thing that they're really concerned about, like really concerned about, and this is the thing that they've sort of been pushing at us, is no, seriously, it's going to have a story. The story's totally going to make sense this time.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know,
we're totally doing a prequel novel, and there's going to be a story. Completely, it's there. It'll make sense.
Yeah.
That's what I hear a lot. Because why sell me on the rest of it? Gears worked fine, sold really well. This is going to be the same. A couple of refinements, and now there's totally a story.
And I'm okay that the gameplay is. It just seems like there's a lot of to do and a lot of press and a lot of media that's just like, look, it's the same.
Yeah.
Look at it. It's fun. And I'm like, I know. That's cool. I understand. That's great.
And then we moved on.
Yeah. They haven't, though. And that's what it's kind of frustrating to me. I wish they would stop every like once a week now at this point.
Right. I think after Gears is where it started doing the flip-flopping of here's something you like, here's something you may not like,
for a while.
Yeah.
Like, and I would just let the TiVo cache hold on to it, and like they would start talking about like here's this amazing thing for people who have Wiis, but we'd also like for them to have our system. Watch this fat chick dance. And so I walked away. I was like, all right, whatever. I left the room. I was like, I can't be involved. Like, I can't be involved in this.
No. See, what he's saying is the same thing that everybody in that crowd was thinking while watching it. And it gets worse.
But you couldn't leave.
Yeah.
You couldn't go
I couldn't leave.
You couldn't go make like a pita sandwich, which is what I did.
I could not go anywhere. Had to stay there and endure.
That's
totally
covered your eyes, though.
Like, so then I would come back and it would be like blah 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 Latin America. And I was like, I need a drink. And then I would come back and it would be like this other really cool thing. That's totally fine. That's how they handled it. They did their thing. I had TiVo, like, so I stayed as close to the now as I possibly could without subjecting myself to.
I think what after that they went into the they didn't go in the dashboard reveal, but they did talk about, I believe it was the new television shows or whatever the television stations.
Which is,
not just the
NBC Universal thing, but the partnership with Netflix.
And the Netflix thing.
And
that
in
was
particular,
big.
Like being able to watch your Netflix queue with the other people in your party.
Yeah.
That seemed to me the first time I've seen the media companies getting out ahead of what is already going on the internet.
Well, yeah. I mean, that kind of forces us to sidestep into the topic of the
Dash update,
which I think is a fairly limited way of describing it because it's
the new Xbox experience.
Yeah, I mean, it is, and like
yeah.
I feel like I should be, you know, doing a comb over and wearing a, you know, cheap suit when I say something like that, because I feel very used car salesman with that kind of terminology.
Right.
But it is functional. It does describe what's going on. I expected within, you know, the lifespan of the Xbox for it to receive some sort of overhaul in terms of its graphical front end. But I'm really willing to believe that what they're doing is fundamentally changing how I'm going to deal with my Xbox.
I don't think a console's ever changed its user interface midstream like this before.
Well, no, let's be fair. They haven't really had user interfaces for that long.
No.
True, yeah.
The user interface of the previous generation
put
was
your game in and press
select
power.
Your game, select your memory card.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
basically it. The Xbox went a little bit further, but yeah.
So only a little bit.
But what it does is it speaks absolutely to the flexibility of the 360. I mean, I don't mean to like gush over it or anything, and I'm not necessarily. I'm just astonished that Sony isn't. I've long considered the PS3 to be a vastly more powerful machine, a much more interesting piece of hardware, just as a piece of hardware. But they can't even do the simplest of things without taking, you know, a chain of eternities to get it released and then screwing it up.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I don't think that there will be any screw-ups when they launch this.
I'm interested.
Yeah. It's going to happen. However, the very simplest of things occur with Sony and with Nintendo in terms of how the front end, how the user deals with the system. And any kind of change within, you know, the lifespan of that hardware. To expect to wake up one day and have your Wii function differently is preposterous. And I suppose at one point I would have thought it preposterous for the 360, but to see what they're doing, it's like, yeah, here's the new thing. And yes, we've obviously copied some stuff from, you know, Apple's interface design philosophy. Yes, we've copied, you know, the Mi's.
Yeah.
The Z's, as some people have started calling them now on the Xbox. Which are optional, and we should all understand that. Yeah, I mean, they've copied a lot of other design elements, but they don't. Microsoft doesn't just hedge bets. Like, they don't do that. They don't say, this is what I want to do, but I'm going to surround myself with these things. They do that, but that's not the limit of what they do. Microsoft almost never makes the wrong move when it's doing something like this. They don't exactly leave it up to chance.
They very rarely, put it this way,
It's Harvey Two-Faces, Two-Headed Coin is what it is.
Yeah, they very rarely come in last when people do these, hey, whose presser was good? It's very rare to see them come in last when people start, you know, ranking these things.
Yeah, I mean, they pour the money at it, and they've got the people helping them to guarantee that this move is the right move. We're going to do this, and while some people will not like it, and while it will create some problems, and we will have some failures, like, it is the best move for us. And I think that they know what they're doing.
Yeah, it is an overall, even regardless of the bumps that we're sure to see at launch. I mean, you know, I expect that when you've got all those people trying to download that kind of thing and exposing it to that amount of users, you're going to run into those sort of things. But even for them to say that hey, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to roll it out because we think we're going to provide an improved experience to our users in the long run.
Well, how long have we been complaining about the lack of something very simple like four-person party chat. Four-person.
Ever since I got my 360.
That's all I wanted. That's all we've wanted.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give us that. They gave us that cubed.
Yeah.
You know? They gave us eight-person chat.
And then they gave it across so many different things. Yeah.
New thing. And then it's like, and you can just drag all your friends into a movie. And it's like,
you can launch a game for everyone in your party. Assuming you all
I just wanted
it.
To talk to three other guys, you know? I didn't even expect to do this.
Oh, that's great.
If somebody had shown me this, if somehow some sort of grainy or shaky video camera footage of this operation had leaked out and someone sold it to me, you know, in YouTube form as this is the interface for the next Xbox, I probably would have believed them. The level of alteration, the level of growth from what it is now to what they're claiming it'll be able to do, just simply as a user interface. I would say, okay, yeah, that's fairly rational. I just didn't expect it to be something that the system could do now. Just here's some software and it's all different. You can get together with eight people and, like, you know, log into your Netflix account, download that movie, and then you know,
anybody watch
drag
it?
Seven yeah. bozos into a virtual room and watch it together.
Well, actually, the clarification on that is it's five people to
watch. Oh, it's five?
It's five for Netflix.
Okay.
It's five for Netflix. Each person has to have a Netflix account.
That makes sense.
That does make sense, because they're watching for free. Yeah.
No. Because you and I talked about this when you called me on the phone. We thought it very dubious that you could simply, like, you know,
yeah, just
drag people into, like, experience something that they're obviously trying to make money off of.
Right? Yeah.
That's not anything I expected. But
I mean, but I have a Netflix account, so I don't care.
Nick's telling us in the chat room is that the party can be doing different things. You can split between games, but still be in the party.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
That's everybody's going to be doing their own thing, but still be in the party so that, you know, if the time comes. In other words, you got to go off and make a pita. Well, we're going to sit here and do our own little thing. When you come back, let us know, and then we'll start up the game. We'll go play our own little thing. I'll finish what I'm doing in Civ Rev or whatever that I may be playing at the time. And when we're ready, we can be showing
Dana pictures of cats while we wait on you.
Yeah, we can all just stop, save, and then jump into what we're doing.
It's terribly impressive. I mean, we'll see about the rollout when the time comes. We'll see about the functionality. We'll see about a lot of the things that I'm sure we still don't know.
Being that it's all software, that it's all, you know, download based. That's, you know,
we will see. But I if they achieve it to any degree, I'll be impressed. I'm ready to be impressed by. Oh, not to mention the fact that we now get optional installs of games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, now I have a reason to go get a bigger hard drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Optional.
Very, very good.
Optional installs. I mean, yes, fine. You have to keep the disc or possibly one of the discs in there. But it's a simple answer. Like, you know, it's something that a lot of people want. I'm one of those people.
I can play COD without listening to that thing spin all the time.
It's the loudest game it's the loudest game I have, and it spins constantly.
Not to mention save wear and tear on it.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
These are very, very real things.
Mine scares me constantly.
Slippy, Slipstream just had to, he tried to play Rock Band last night, and it's his launch system 360 scratched the disc up. It wasn't playable. And so he's thinking about getting a new 360 because he can't keep, he's been rebuying games because it scratches it so bad.
Optical drives are actually one of the worst parts of a system like that. I mean, hard drives are, for what they are and what they really do, I mean, if you care at all about computers but don't know what a hard drive actually does, like, don't think about it. It's actually a little scary to me sometimes that they can do what they do and that they don't screw up more often.
Yeah,
but optical drives are flimsy, worthless, like, things, and they fail all the time. So, yes, it's a completely legitimate reason to want to do that. The noise issue is a very legitimate reason to want to do it. If you're lazy and don't want to get up off the couch to change discs in a four-disc game, that's a totally legitimate reason to want to do it. Like,
that makes me wonder, though, you know, if it is a four-disc game, take Lost Odyssey, for instance.
Uh-huh.
Which disc has to be in the drive? I mean, obviously, these are questions we don't know.
Probably the initial disc, or maybe any disc. I don't know how they're going to run check disc
I'm
things.
Curious on that. On the multiples, which there aren't that many.
I would imagine it would probably be a specific disc, because if it wasn't, we could all install Lost Odyssey and share that, and we could each have a disc.
Give me one of your discs.
Yeah, so I imagine it'll be a specific disc.
No doubt.
Just for that reason, which would, you know, be awesome, but, you know, sadly, I don't think
we'll
do that.
Yeah, I don't mind. I mean,
that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
I like that the option is there. I'm with you.
I think it's a terrific thing, you know? And if you're one of those people that wants to keep pretending that the sole difference between consoles and PCs is that you don't install games, then you don't have to install your games.
Yeah.
You listen to
that hard drive spin.
Know, leaf blower, and that's fine, or whatever. I don't care. Like, it's totally fine. The whole point is that it's optional. The whole point is that it's there. But I've always been pro install, so I thought that was really cool. So yeah, you know, that kind of pinched the whole thing off at the end with the FF13 video.
Well, with the Japanese RPGs, for the most part, with those.
Well, it's like it wasn't.
We knew they were coming anyway.
I didn't think it wasn't a really big shock. FF13 on the 360 wasn't a big shock. Even put the rumors off to the side.
I didn't expect it, though.
I didn't necessarily expect to see it, but look at what you have. You have some mild success with Blue Dragon and Lost Odyssey. Proof that JRPGs will work on that system. An obvious little bit of a turnaround with their philosophy. I mean, the previous generation, everybody thought, well, their real failure is that they can't penetrate Japan. They didn't really seem to worry about that too much this generation. It was like, well, we'll just take whatever people like from Japan anyway and, like, bring it over here. We don't need to necessarily move our system over to Japan to get a lot of the Japanesey stuff that Americans like.
Japanesey.
Yeah.
Essentially, we'll just do what we've got to do to put JRPGs on our system. Mm-hmm. We think it increases our portfolio to a point where more people are going to adopt it, and they're not wrong at all.
The reason it surprised me, though, was because I had completely forgotten about Final Fantasy
XIII. I have never once forgotten about it.
I totally forgot it was even coming out.
And one of
out.
The biggest things about it is we haven't heard.
That's the reason I'd forgotten about it.
Stitch of information about it. It's too big not to have heard of for this long. And then you start seeing, like, this succession of Squaresoft JRPGs released on the 360. It's like, okay, you're building JRPGs. You've got Squaresoft on board. Nobody's heard anything of Final Fantasy XIII for, like, a year or something
like
that.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. Like,
Since the last E3, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, I wasn't banking on hearing it, but when it dawned on me what I was looking at, I was like, okay, it's good. It's about time. It's about time we really heard this, because it was coming.
Yeah, it wasn't a surprise. Like, I wasn't like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Totally unexpected. It was just kind of like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, and I was very happy okay, finally, we've done this.
Yeah,
we've gone there. Good. Now we can get down to the work of having it actually come out.
That wraps up Microsoft.
Microsoft's presser.
And we can skip Nintendo if you want to.
Have your own private laugh at Nintendo if you need to. It was.
I was there. I did. It was.
I wouldn't. I don't know. I don't know that I would have laughed in your place. I would have been very upset.
No. We were extremely upset because we had gotten up so early in the morning to attend that. Thing.
Yeah, you told me that that you thought about it.
Nick was saying, you know, I don't think I'm going to go. And I said, I kind of agree with you, but it's my first E3. I want to hit them all. I want to hit all three of the big pressers and say that I've done it.
You get to learn about the joy of Wii music.
I get to learn about the joy. I get to miss out on the joy of sleeping in, is what the real lesson learned was. We get up at 6 a.m. to get downstairs by 7:15 to catch the shuttle. That doesn't end up leaving until like 7:30, 7:45. They checked us in, and we're like, man, we're really hungry. And the people there checking us in at the hotel, they were doing it right at the shuttle location so that you could just walk in. And they said that, they'll give you some, they'll have coffee there, they'll have food for you, breakfast, you know, and it'll be good. And I thought, man, this could be great. Free food, buffet, wonderful. We get there, and there's no food. There's just coffee. There's coffee and tea there. And I said this, I drink the coffee, but there are people who don't drink coffee and who don't drink tea. Mm-hmm. And so there was nothing there for them but water, hot water, if they wanted it. But there was nothing there for them. And then there was no food either, and then they wheel us in, and we watched the presentation that I'm sure everybody else watched in horror. Or in awe stupid it was.
But you get a nice little thing to plug into your remote.
We got news about that during Microsoft's press conference.
I heard about that.
Nintendo had sent out an email before E3 started and said, hey, if you give us your cell phone number, we'll send you a text, no more than two, during the entirety of E3 about new things coming up for Nintendo. And just before Microsoft, probably around the time, because Microsoft got started late, you get a Nintendo said, what's the Wii Motion Plus? Check out Nintendo.com/blah blah blah to find out.
Sounds like it's a gyroscope. If it allows one-to-one matching of what you're doing with your Wiimote on the screen.
I don't care.
Well, it means I can finally have that lightsaber.
Sounds like it should have been the Wiimote when it came out.
Sounds like what I thought the Wiimote was going to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I envisioned a lightsaber game. Once I actually had the Wiimote in my hand and saw how it worked, I was like, oh, I can't have that lightsaber game that I
want. No, you're not getting
that. Maybe now I can if I, want to spend any more money on my Wii.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got what we got there, which was horrible. I mean, the Wii Motion Plus, fine. You're still swinging your arms around. That's all you're really doing in some of these things. You can throw a frisbee now with your dog. That's not real.
Unlike the Fable 2 dog, which is very, very real.
Looks better than that dog on the Wii.
Well, of course it does.
And if I can make him attack, that's fine too. All I can tell this puppy to do is pick up the frisbee and bring it back.
But people eat that stuff up.
Oh, they do. I know exactly who they were talking to.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't anybody in that. Well, yeah, it was. I was looking around. I think I mentioned this to Nick was like, man, some of these people, you don't picture them as people who would be attending something like this.
Yeah.
Business suits, older men, older women looking at this stuff. Probably the investors and probably the people that...
They know what they're doing. They know who they're targeting, and they're doing it very, very well.
Yeah, I mean, it's selling, you know? Nintendo realizes that...
And once or twice a year, they release a game that I like.
Nintendo realized that they can make a piece of plastic and put Wii in front of it and sell it, you know? That's it. It's E3 is like, okay, we'll release something additional that you can buy that isn't game related, but it can be used on your Wii. Next year it'll be the Wii camera, you know?
Yeah.
And they'll start doing games that require the Wii Fit and the Wii camera to whatever, just like Microsoft did this year.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I fully believe that's what they'll move into. Is they'll add another peripheral for that thing. It is the cutest game ever. No, it's not. But boy, she wanted it to be. And for a lot of people, I guess maybe it is. But then they get done with that and they announce Wii Music. And oh, that was horrible to watch. It was horrible to sit through. I leaned to Nick and I was like, man, I'd rather be watching the Fat Chick again.
That's saying a lot.
It was.
You know, it's just that it's more toy than game. I understand, you know, why a lot of that stuff's really fun to play with.
Did you notice, though, in music that it doesn't take any skill? It's just pressing buttons. No matter what happens with Wii Music, no matter what you do, the right note gets played.
Yeah.
All it is you... I mean, you have to activate that note. That's it. The right one will play.
You just have to spasm at the prompt.
Yeah.
So it's just timing. It's not which button you press. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's basically a simplified version of the music games we've been playing for a wider audience.
Very simplified.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's so yeah, that was in the Nintendo's. We get on a bus and we head over to to Sony, to the Shriner. Sony did fine. They gave us coffee, smoothies, whatever. It would, you know, frozen orange juice or whatever it was. The really nice cold orange juice because it was hot. And then they fed us all kinds of food that you wanted. And then, of course, they wheel you into a nice auditorium that, like I said in one of our little E3 wrap-up things, it was like, it's that feeling you get when you walk into a Best Buy or whatever, and you go to the TV section, and it's just monitors all over the place, and you just get that euphoric of, oh, this is nice. I got a bunch of TVs. I don't care what's on the screen. It's just a bunch of light shining at me. That's the same thing here, because they had tons of screens set up. Actually, I had people sitting on the stage there playing. Somebody was playing, I don't know what G4 showed of this, but somebody was playing Metal Gear Solid on one, Pixel Junk Eden on another, GT5, Echo Chrome, SOCOM, and Knights of the Old Republic, Force Unleashed on another. And then Sony came out and did their thing, which was, you know, if I got to rank it, it's Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo. But Sony announced...
I think that's pretty much a universal understanding.
Yeah. I don't know. There's some people who would put Sony above Microsoft. I don't know why. But they probably because of the excitement of what games are coming out. Even though a lot of what we saw, a lot of the anticipated stuff that we saw was next year. You know, God of War, Infamous... Maybe Mag.
Keep going if you can.
Yeah.
Mag. So yeah, the big thing you're looking forward to this year from Sony would be, as far as gaming is concerned, is Little Big Planet. The best thing that I thought Sony did, and I thought of you when they were doing it, even though you don't have a PS3, was the ability to buy movies off the store, rent or buy. And then if you buy them, though, they become yours. You can transfer them to your PSP. You can transfer them to your PC. You take them with you wherever you want to go, because you have bought that movie.
Well, cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, finally.
And then the other great thing about that was they initiated it that night.
That was a thing. Really cool. Yeah. That was a thing. That's kind of fun for them to do. There's very little that they can do, anybody can do, in terms of, you know, here's a whatever game and the demo's available now, you know? But for something like that, it is a little bit more realistic to expect them to be able to do stuff like that immediately, which is, that's fine. That's always a lot of fun. I also thought it was really cool. Little Big Planet as their...
That was great.
As their little marketing delivery method.
Because everybody hates the numbers section of the presentations.
It softens the blow.
When you do that, it's a lot better.
Because I can't remember a thing he said, but in my mind, I can remember the entire path.
Yeah.
That his little dude man took, and I was like, That's a great little big planet. I don't know what he's talking about.
Something goes up, and then there's this thing.
They're obviously very happy with this. You know, like, whatever.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of clever, so that was really the only thing I took away from their press conference.
Well, they announced a couple of new SKUs for PSP and for PS2, of all things. New stuff for that.
Infamous looked really, really good.
Yeah.
It's a shame that's next year, though, because that's another thing that made me say, you know, really wish I had a PS3.
I don't necessarily know that that's a shame for you next year.
Well, by next year,
it gives you
be.
More time to to pick it up does. Your stuff.
I don't know how I feel about it. I like it. I like, enough. I like it enough. But
I saw it looks like a superhero Assassin's Creed, which I'm all over that in concept.
Well, that's perfectly fine. At the moment for me, it's a name, it's a title, it's a couple of screenshots. Like, that's all I'm really willing to give it in my head. It's a little bit too far out for me to care.
Sure.
At the moment. So, but you know, I got no problems with it. I just didn't know. Didn't turn me on.
Yeah. What else?
From Sony?
Yeah.
Not much.
What do you think about MAG? What do you think about that? Massive action game, 256 players.
Yeah, a lot of people.
It is a lot of people.
As Nick said, that's a lot of racists.
It is. I think it's very interesting that, you know, they want to go up to, what are we talking, 60 with Resistance 2?
Yeah.
And I thought that was like...
Eight players in co-op, 60 multiplayer.
I was like, okay, that's pretty interesting. They obviously want to raise the bar for player limits in multiplayer, however, whatever that might be. So that'll be interesting when we see that. Maybe we can push that forward. But before that even gets anywhere close to being here, they're, you know, quadrupling that number.
Yeah.
And I think that's... You know, I don't know. I'd almost like to see something that could act as proof of concept for them being able to do that for a console-centric multiplayer universe to support that many people in an action game setting. I don't know.
The concept is wonderful in my mind. I'm like, oh, that's neat. But I think I really am I'm reserving judgment till I see the execution because there's so much that could go wrong.
Yeah, even on the idea. I play with like 15 other people almost every single time I get into a multiplayer game on a console.
Yeah.
And even sometimes, depending on how things are designed, I'm like, this is way too crowded.
Yeah, or I don't like being with this many idiots.
Yeah.
That was the conclusion we came to. Too many chiefs, not enough Indians.
Well, yeah, and I don't know how they're gonna design it. I just know that with very few exceptions, something that's action oriented, console based, we've never dealt with very many people simultaneously. And that's a huge jump. I thought that the 60 of Resistance was just a lot. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot for a PC game, even.
It is.
Like, I was playing PC Cut 4 and I'm playing 60 people maps, and I'm going, a lot of guys.
That's too many guys.
It's too many people.
I even did it for those maps. I had even done it in Tribes before, and you know exactly how big a Tribes map is, but it was too many
even
people.
Even Tribes, too many guys.
Yeah, Nick referenced PlanetSide, which I'd never played.
Yes, I was going to do that as well. Yeah. PlanetSide was... I remember being in individual battles and skirmishes that were about somewhere between the 200 and 300 person limit, and it like blew the back of my head off. Like, the first time it happened, I couldn't really get my head around that. I know how to be in an MMO world where I'm in a city and there's some level of like muted but still, you know, present commerce going on with that many people. I know how to be in a battleground with 80 guys. Like, that's a thing, but like to be in an action game where every interaction is theoretically anywhere from 1-on-1 to 1-on-200.
Yeah.
Is very, very different, and actually it doesn't happen in very many places and has not happened very often. And PlanetSide just didn't have a long enough or fruitful enough life to influence either us as gamers or I think probably not nearly as many developers as it should have. It was fun while I played it, though.
Yeah, it was
fun in beta.
Yeah.
Until they, you know...
Yeah, beta was great.
Castrated it and completely changed certain aspects of the game that I wasn't willing to deal with at launch.
Yeah,
but,
that's how I felt about it.
Yeah, basically I feel like we're going from, you know, from apparently like almost zero to that level of gameplay with something like Mag.
Cool.
So whatever, what have they got to lose? Like, yeah, it's not like this is the difference between continued success and total failure for them. So you go right ahead. You do something weird.
Yeah.
You go on and you have your ginormous mega game, and I'll hope that it works.
Yeah.
and that's excellent.
And if it does work, then it'll be great. I'll be very excited for it.
I'll totally get on board for that. Because you've got nothing to lose, and why not do something like that? Whatever. That's fine.
Yeah.
I wish them all the best.
So anyway, Sony wrapped up, and then it was on to games. Just lots and lots of games.
How did that work for you? Because I didn't really follow, you know, individual announcements very carefully. I would check back every day and be like, "Well, here's what we know now," but like chronologically, I didn't have any sense of it. How did you proceed through the show after the?
We had meetings scheduled.
Yeah.
Our first meeting was with Codemasters.
Well, specifically, yeah, that's what we're getting at.
Our first meeting was at which Nintendo ran late, therefore causing Sony to run late, therefore causing everybody else to be off.
Certainly.
And if it's almost worth having a 3-hour show on this, because there's plenty that me and Nick would love to say about the way E3 is set up, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But a lot of E3 for me and Nick was not having enough time. We would get in for these 30-minute sessions with one company to show us within 30 minutes, I don't know, 4 to 5 games. And you think that's what you think, okay, well, you can do that, 45
games.
Oh,
no, I would never think that.
Well, no, exactly, because it takes 30 minutes for somebody just to explain to you the game that you're seeing, that one game you're looking at. It's really one of these things that I wish the devs wouldn't do to us. They like to tell us the story. They like to say, okay, you're playing this guy, and here's the background. I don't need to know the background. I can look up the background on a PR release some other time. Show me the cool stuff that you want me to see. Don't worry about...
Don't worry about context.
I don't need to worry about context.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless it's majorly specific to what you're about to show me. But they all wanted us to get the context of the stuff, which would take a good 10 minutes to get us through... I don't know, maybe 5 to 10 minutes to get us through that, when we could be seeing some really cool stuff. So, you know, we had it all plugged into our iPhones, checking the dates on things and what the times of where we needed to be and what we were going to look at. So we went to Codemasters and looked at Rise of the Argonauts, which looks really cool. And then we saw Flashpoint 2. Not gameplay of that, Operation Flashpoint 2. Not gameplay, but we saw a nice little demonstration, a nice little example of what we would be seeing. There was gameplay, but he wasn't physically playing the game. It was video gameplay.
That's okay. That's acceptable.
But it looked wonderful. Essentially, they've taken this island that actually does exist, and he said that we don't have any level design in this game because everything here is there.
Right.
We didn't have to design a level for you.
Because the first game was...
Which I never played.
Was a fictional conflict in a fictional location.
This is I didn't write down notes of the story.
And brutal.
Yeah.
And merciless. It made me cry.
Yeah.
That game was hard.
But yeah, I didn't write down the story, but apparently the story is actually based on a very real background.
Yeah,
it just went differently. It's
Russian ownership of a Chinese property.
Correct.
And it is about the understandable conflict that would
it's Chinese property
create.
and then a major resource, oil, was found on that property, and Russia's like, that's ours.
As it is. That's
back.
What we do. We're Russia. Have you been paying attention for the last 50 years?
Give that back to us. And so you start out on the island, and like you said, everything is there. If you go, you know, if you go over this hill, you'll see a farmhouse down there with a fence set up this way. Go to that island where it actually exists.
You go to Google Earth.
Yeah.
You will go over that mountain and you will see that farmhouse where that fence is set up that way. He said if you go through this area and say there's two tanks waiting for you and you're on foot, you can choose to sneak around the tanks or find a way to take them out. However, if you got to come back, remember those tanks are going to be there when you come back, and it may be a little bit more difficult for you. In your vehicle or whatever that you may be coming in, you may want to get rid of them now, or at least neutralize one of them. So it'll always stay the same. Weapons will deteriorate. If you get them dirty, they will they'll deteriorate in the rain, that sort of thing. They're going to have more jams than normal.
Okay.
But you're constantly picking up new weapons anyway. In most games.
Yeah.
You know, you're constantly getting rid of one to pick up the other.
Unless I like the one.
Unless you like the one.
Then take care of it.
Take care of it. Which is good. I mean, and you know, and this is all stuff that, you know, from the, is not a surprising jump from the original. You know, yeah. It was a super heavy realism, brutally punishing realism game, and they, as much criticism as the first one got for that point, you know, was saying, hey, they should have backed off the realism a little bit in terms of gameplay, like, they knew what they wanted to do, and they said, we're going to do the same thing again, because that's what we wanted to make. We're going to do it again.
The landscape of it.
That's okay with me, as long as they're up front and they know what they're doing.
During the gameplay, video, there was a pan across the landscape, and I got a little confused there. It kind of crossed that little realism boundary of, what am I looking at here? Is he showing me, you know, footage of, are they going to phase into the gameplay of this from real footage, or... But no, it was real. I mean, once you saw a building or something, you knew what you were looking at. But if it was just plain barren area, it looked very, very realistic. 50 vehicles to choose from. You can co-op the entire campaign if you want.
You bet you can.
Yes. Which is wonderful. And it comes out in 2009 for the PC, the 360, and the PS3. So that was a big highlight. And the highlights just kept on coming. We went to Sega and saw Sonic Unleashed. Looked good for the daytime. It's split into daytime levels and nighttime levels. Daytime levels are your Sonic, standard Sonic stuff. Not really push right to win, but if you just keep going, don't stop and jump at the right time, you'll do good. And then the nighttime levels are when he turns into his little werehog state. I know. It was the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen. Wait till you see this. I don't know if there's gameplay out there, but wait till you see it. His arms get really stretchy, and it turns into a brawler. And he goes very slow. He's very, very slow.
Like a great Sonic game.
So I know.
Remember when the first little thing came out, and I was saying that I had trepidations about this whole thing, and I wasn't real sure. This is why.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Because every time Sega's like, hey, look at this cool thing. And then like later on, they're like, oh, by the way, we totally jacked that up.
Yeah.
We forgot to mention that in the original ads, but we screwed everything.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I'm not surprised.
Did you see the Nintendo Power cover?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kim with sword and armor?
That's not Unleashed.
I know, that's... It's another Sonic game. It's like, what?
It's another Sonic game.
It's like... Ooh.
That isn't seriously just a Sonic game.
You got the BioWare Sonic game.
Yeah.
You got the Sega Sonic game, and now you've got the one on Nintendo there. So you got a lot of Sonics coming out there.
But where's my Sonic game?
And then, of course, while we were a little bit underwhelmed by Sonic, we got instantly interested in Empire Total War.
Yeah.
Which really surprised me.
You know what it took for me? One screenshot looking out from
Fleet Combat?
From the gun deck.
Yeah. I'm glad you got to see some screenies, man.
Of a small frigate.
You obviously know I was thinking about you the entire time I'm watching this one. I'm like, oh man, he's gonna love this.
Come on, you give me a really good game about Age of Sail stuff, and like that's it.
So you know what I'm asking? I'm asking the usual questions. I was like, how many ships?
Yeah.
Because I know that's the question you want to know. 20 to 40 different ships. Obviously depending on the type of the country you choose, I suppose, the faction that you go with. And the way that you kind of level up your ships, I guess you could say. The research that you do. Steamships, all sorts of the big gunships, just all sorts of stuff. And he was all speaking naval speak, and I was like, "Man, James, be in heaven listening to this stuff." And for whatever reason, I can't repeat it now because I've totally forgotten. But yeah, it'll have land battle, it'll have battle, it'll have fleet combat, ship sink. You know, you fire on them, ship sink. The mast breaks. They catch on fire. You can zoom out and see it's very much. There's another game that did this. I'm saying Spore-like, to where you can get a very nice...
You're talking be able to, like, you can see, like, the battle itself, and you can also zoom out to the point of, like, seeing the theater of conflict.
Yeah, you can zoom out and see your ships individually and what's going on there. Then you can zoom in on a ship and see the deckhands doing their thing.
Yeah, that's a screenshot I saw.
Yeah. I'm just saying, that's in a zoom. That's not like, okay, I want to go to this view, load.
Right.
It's just move the mouse wheel and zoom in. That's all it is. And they've all got their own little things. When you decide to board another ship, you know, all the guys line up on that side as your ship's getting closer and closer. They bring out their little hooks and start swinging, ready to throw them over. And it was interesting because that other ship's on fire, so we wanted to try and get over there and take what we could. But then the fire caught onto the other ship that was trying to do the boarding, and both sank. And we're like, oh, wow, look at that. Your little guys are drowning. And he said, yeah, we're going to eventually have sharks in there. And we kind of giggled. He's like, no, we're serious. We're putting sharks in there. another cool thing that he showed us was that they were firing rockets across. Rockets, I guess, as far as the 18th century is concerned.
Which they were like, rockets.
Yeah, which look like fireworks that you would buy today. But yeah, big rockets, which have great range, by the way. Shooting those across, and it would catch on fire on the top deck, and you would see all the guys acting like they should, which is like, let's get off this thing, it's on fire. But the guys below deck, loading the cannons, they didn't know what was going on. So they're still doing their little thing. And then all of a sudden, the fire breaks through the top into the bottom, and then it's like, oh, crap, every man for himself jumping out. And then, of course, it got caught to it caught onto the magazine hold of all their gunpowder. Yeah, and just exploded the ship. And, you know, you'll be right at home, especially on your brand-new PC.
Yes.
You will love that. So that comes out in February of 09. Lego Batman, we saw, that is your standard Lego game, and it does not have online co-op. We asked them about this. He said that they looked at the stats from Complete Saga that did have online co-op. They said that they looked at that and saw that nobody was using it.
Well, I don't understand. What am I going to play online co-op with? Oh, wait. Never mind. The other 500 games that are coming out with online co-op.
I know, but I just wanted my Lego games to have, you know?
I don't mind. It's okay. If someone ducks the online co-op, whatever. I don't care. Like, it's totally fine. Make your game good. Make it fun. I've seriously got more things to play with my friends than I'll ever be able to play with them.
Yeah.
I just don't care anymore. It's like, there's so much of it going on. It's such a staple. It's all right.
It was really hard to pay attention to Lego Batman because just out of the corner of my eye, I was watching somebody play Project Origin, which is the true sequel to Fear, made by the guys who made Fear, not what happened with... What was it? Fear Files or something? Yeah, something like that.
A succession of
of
underwhelming expansion content.
Not that. Project Origin looks really good. It was very the demo they showed us, or the gameplay they showed us, was very action oriented. There was very little. I think I saw that red dressed girl or whatever once in the very beginning before the game actually started, and then after that, I think there was a little bit of slow motion going on, like, you know, your feed would flicker a little bit. But that was it. It was still me, you know, throwing around missiles and whatever. And then, I got in a mech suit.
Awesome.
I got inside a mech suit, or, well, the guy playing it. There was a lot of that. There was a lot of devs play the game, you watch.
Right.
Wasn't a lot of, okay, here's the controller, now you do it. You know?
They want you to break it in front of everybody.
It's totally legit. What are you going to do if they give you the controller? You're going to go nosing around in the corners. That's what I would do. And, like, I would probably find somewhere where there's texture clipping or tearing.
And say,
like,
look at that. You
something weird.
Up.
And I'd be like, what's the problem here? You know? And it's like, they don't want to deal with that. They want you to see what the game is about. They're polishing stuff up. Obviously, that's not the focus. So
yeah, and it looked good. I didn't even write anything. It got to mech suit, and it was like, exclamation point. I was done. There will be a demo, and there'll be multiplayer for that whenever it's released. Took a look at Battle Station Specific. I'm pretty much gonna say if you've played a Battle Stations game, then yeah, you're doing the same thing. This time you can do it with ships and submarines. This time as well. So, and of course, air combat also, which has been in the Battle Stations games. It's on the fly, changing whichever one you want to go to. The thing it reminded me the most was Empire Total War, which I liked Empire's way of doing things better.
Right.
And then I saw Tomb Raider. Underworld, which should be underwater mostly because that's what we saw of this demo. It started with her on a ship out in the middle of nowhere, which is kind of strange for her because normally you have an idea of where you should be walking.
She's never out in the middle of nowhere.
Well, but I'm just saying nothing around her.
There's no context for what's going on.
Yeah, you're just on a ship and you know you've got to go under, and so they gave you the scuba gear and stuff. They said that you wouldn't have to worry anymore about finding air pockets going underwater, that sort of thing. Because she'll have her scuba gear, so no big thing. Underwater exploration is going to be big in this one. You can also share photos in this. You can take pictures and share photos on Xbox Live, which I was kind of grateful for whenever I get stuck in areas. I can find somebody that says, no, see this dark space
I'm here.
Over here? Yeah.
Yeah.
You go through that thing.
MS Paint me a circle on what I need to pull.
Yeah, please.
She's now got a sprint button. She can actually run faster now, which is fine. There was a lot of times.
Frankly, they don't need to make a lot of changes from Revelation.
They're pretty tried and
true. We've suffered so many sequels and reboots that just didn't do anything, but like when... Last Revelation came along, like it was like, okay, I'm totally on board. Like, you've done a good thing, you know, now just do more of this. So if it's more of that, if they're following in the same vein of really, really solid gameplay, then I'm on board. Like,
I got to that point in our E3 write-up I did for, or the wrap-up I did for Tomb Raider. I actually suddenly said that. I was like, you know what, I was really excited and trying very hard to get in to see footage of this, and then I realized that I'm watching a sequel. I'm watching something that wasn't broke since I've been playing it, which would be Legend and Anniversary. I'm watching something that wasn't broke, and really they didn't have to fix anything. I'm just watching more of what I've seen before, just a different setting. Basically, Gears, you know? Same thing.
Yeah. You're doing this more, and it's fine.
And that's fine, yeah.
So I kind of feel like I wasted my time on that, because I know what to expect. It's going to be fun. I'll get it. So there you go. They took out quick time events. They replaced them with what are called adrenaline moments, which basically the action slows down, and that's, you've got a few seconds to get off whatever rock is about to fall, or get out of the way of whatever danger is about to come your way.
She slows down. The difference between that and a quick time event
is so minor. So
you're still like, pressing a button to get off the rock.
So what's the difference between a timeline and a time horizon? Okay.
We went over to the Midway booth, and this is where I saw Mortal Kombat versus DC. And me and Nick were really surprised when we played this. It was playable there on PS3 and 360. We played it on the 360. It was the station that was open at the time. I hate saying this, because we go there and you really hate when somebody says for a game that's not coming out until November or whatever, the holiday, the fall, something like that. You hate to hear someone say, you'll have to play to understand it. You'll have to play to understand what we mean. I really hate that, because I wish I could describe to you that this is new, this is fresh. It feels brand new, and it feels good when you play it. So that's what I have to say. Get your hands on it, because it works. There's nothing wrong with them putting the DC characters in there. There's still blood. There's still painful moments of arms breaking. And there's still fatalities, for the most part. So, it was good. It was good to see. What else did we see? Brothers in Arms. We saw that, which, if I remember, Brothers in Arms had co-op.
I don't know. I've never played much of one of the Brothers in Arms games.
Yeah. Brothers in Arms, I believe, had co-op, but they do not have co-op in this version. This takes place Operation Market Garden. Instead of taking World War II and having you play various missions within World War II, they take one mission out of that and they expand it for the length of that mission. Operation Market Garden was 10 days. It's 10 days in the game. They researched everything. If it's, you know, they talked about Black Friday. We went back and we researched it and found out that it was raining on Black Friday. So it's raining in the game when you play it. They really wanted some realistic stuff, and they understand that people are tired of playing World War II games, but they figure if they can focus and concentrate their efforts on one thing from the war, that you'll have a better experience playing it instead of jumping around from battle to battle. That's what they think. And then we saw Far Cry 2. That was interesting. The map... It's no longer switching to a map screen. He pulls up a board that's got a map with his hand. You can walk around while looking at this map, while your little marker moves with you. All right, Nick's on the phone. We'll get to him in just a bit. While driving, which any car that's available that can run, you can get into it and start driving if you wish. You can pull up the map, do the same thing.
Did you play Far Cry?
Yes.
Did you beat it?
No.
Did you play a significant portion of it?
I played, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Oh, that's right. I played it, and then I went back with that little co-op mod somebody made.
Uh-huh.
And I tried to play it then with Kevin, and I don't think we ever got it worked out. But But yeah, no, I did play a significant portion. I never got to the big twist of that where you walk into the, where it kind of, the game kind of changes on you.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then you're fighting these mutated,
right,
whatever they are.
It was pretty forgettable after that.
Okay.
The environment was the star of Far Cry. Mm-hmm. The gameplay was pretty good, and the environment was really terrific.
And
so
then I played it on,
that's really,
the 360, the Far Cry Instincts.
Right.
I played that, too. Which none of those little feral things or whatever they put in Instincts is in Far Cry 2.
I was just interested, if you had played the first one, how it looks, how it feels in comparison, in terms of the execution of this open environment.
That's tough, because Far Cry, a lot of Far Cry was open.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. However, you have the ability in this to go stealth or go, like, you can play at night or you can play during the day. If you find one of these little bungalow things, whatever, there's you can find a cot. And when you go to, when you select to use that cot, obviously your little watch comes up and he can select what time he wants to wake up. So you can play in the day or you can play at night. Night is a little bit more stealth oriented. The fire effects, which we didn't see during the demo, but I've seen video of it, the way the fire is very dynamic. It works a lot like Overlord did, where when I first lit up something in Overlord, I didn't realize I was standing in that same patch that was connected a couple of ways off, and it would burn all the way to you. It's the same thing with in Far Cry 2. Anything burnable will burn, and anything near it that can burn will also catch on fire. So it's a neat little way to get rid of some enemies. You lure them into the grass and then just light it up. And it'll spread, and it'll spread quick. And then we saw Hawks. And Hawks, good news, your Ace Combat flight stick will work with Hawks.
Yes.
Yes.
That's a huge piece of news, actually.
That brings great joy.
Yeah.
That is a huge triumph for me. And that means that greatly increases the chance of me getting Hawks.
Yeah, see, this is what's very funny about it. It's not so wonderful because, man, I'm going to get Hawks no matter what, and I sure hope I can use this awesome interface with it. It's, look at this awesome expensive interface that I bought. I sure hope I have something else to feed it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
The Hawks percentile chance for purchase just went from like a 15 to like probably like a 60 or 70 right there in that information alone.
Yeah, that's really the most important bit to know about Hawks.
Yeah, and four-player co-op.
Sure, great.
Through the entire campaign.
That's actually pretty cool.
Takes place after Graw, Ghost Recon, but before Endwar is when it takes place. So you may have some overlaps of interesting things going on.
Okay.
50-plus planes to choose from in that. Oh, the camera system. I need to talk about that. I don't know if there's any video out there of it, but they've got your standard behind-the-plane camera, obviously, the one that you've always seen. I don't think there's an in-cockpit view. But then there's this dynamic cinematic camera that you can choose, which gives you which is not directly behind the plane anymore. It gives you a pulled out frontal side type view.
Okay.
It's very different, but maneuverability is so much better in that view for me. Maybe with a flight stick it could be different. I have no idea, but with a controller, I was dodging missiles left and right without any problem. But in that behind the plane view, it was a little bit tougher to figure out what's going on.
If there's no cockpit view, I'm going to be sad. That's how you play plane games.
He didn't show us one.
There better be one.
And I didn't ask.
Or they may have just lost a lot of the percentage points that they just gained. Like, if you're going to fly a plane, you fly it from in the cockpit. That's where it should be flown from.
That's a form of self-punishment that you have to inflict for the joy
of being able to use my flight stick.
I saw Fracture.
Yeah.
All right.
I watched it and I realized that this little gimmick that they're giving me of land manipulation,
terrain deformation,
terrain manipulation, that sort of thing, wasn't going to last very long. That gimmick was going to wear off quick.
Yeah.
Because it really boiled down to, oh, now you've given me, you know, okay, let's look at what is it? Time shift, I think. All right, first person shooter again, except I can stop time. All right, first-person shooter again, except I can change the area that I'm walking on. There were a few little examples where these guys were in an alleyway, and he would just make the land rise up and then push it so they'd get stuck against the wall, squish, whatever. That's fine, but it still boiled down to being a shooter. It's exactly what it was. And for whatever reason, at that point, it changed for me from being something I was really interested in to something that could wait for me. It didn't hold anymore.
No, it's
once I saw it being used over and over again and how it was being used, I got bored with it quick.
Yeah, welcome to like the better part of a decade ago and Red Faction.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how the rest of us felt.
Yeah.
It's funny, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, Nick saw some games that I didn't, and maybe that's what he wants to talk about. I'll hit one more, and then we'll take the phone with him. I saw Force Unleashed. I didn't play it, but I did see it, and actual gameplay of it being played. This is a game that you're going to get. You're going to play it.
I'll buy it.
Oh, yeah, you know, you're going to play it.
Maybe if all those guys still worked there.
Very true.
I ain't buying it.
Very, very good point.
They'll get my Gamefly dollars. And that's... I mean, I'm not a complete idiot. I'm going to play their game because it looks really cool. My protest only goes so far.
Yeah.
It comes out September 16th. It takes place between episodes 3 and episodes 4.
That's... Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's an extraordinary surprise.
Well, another surprise. It starts out with a story crawl.
Yeah. There was one interesting bit, though, because I did see some of your notes.
You start as Vader.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you do. You get off your ship, and you start as Vader, which is wonderful.
Which means the rest of the game had better be good. Because, like...
That's a big
Vader's
step there.
Vader's sort of kind of tough, where the Force is concerned, you might could say. So, if you're starting, you know, at the Vader end of the spectrum, the natural assumption is that you can only proceed towards the Luke end of the spectrum.
So, yeah, he was knocking trees down.
I saw the E3 trailer. I was really impressed by it. I thought that this was going to be exactly that. Look at this. I scrunched up an AT-ST into a little ball and then slam dunked it, you know, like with a force. Obviously, this is what I've been expecting to do for like 3 years now.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine. The fact, though, that the trailer, at the very least, was put together with like an awful lot of like, you know, cinematic know-how. I was like, wait a minute. There's like some substantial drama in this game, evidently. Like, there's this guy, and then there's this like chick, and there's some intrigue, and that's always really nice. And then, is he going to make out with that robot now? Like, you know, it's all sorts of weird stuff in the trailer. I was like, this looks more interesting than just slam dunking AT-ATs with the Force, which in itself is pretty cool.
Yeah, just the opening really that caught my eye as well of what they were doing with you starting out as Vader.
Right.
You're literally playing this story. It's not like, here's a cutscene of what happens. Now here's your main character. Go.
Right.
It's like, no. You need to play this cutscene in a sense. You need to play the story. And so, I didn't really have many fears with it, but to see it in motion and see somebody playing it instead of seeing, you know, what we've been seeing before, which is just video, but to have somebody there actually playing it, he's like, hey, pick up that TIE fighter, throw it over there. pick up that
trooper. I'm just glad to know that there was someone left to actually demo the game for you.
So,
he's probably gone now that his job is done.
Let's get back on the phone here, because I know we want to go into the games that were not at E3. We want to talk about that because there were quite a lot. But let's go to the phone lines here and take line one. Hey, Nick, you there?
I am here.
Hey, that's good then, because normally that's not the case. You know,
you didn't actually hang up on me.
Yeah, when it's me working the phones. Back at home, settled back in now.
Yeah, I think my body's finally adjusted to everything. Took a couple days.
Yeah. You saw a couple of games that I didn't.
Yeah, I spent most of the day there on Thursday.
Yeah.
I saw quite a few of the big ones, actually. We finally managed
You saw Killzone 2.
Yeah, you know, slipped the Sony guy a few bucks and got in. But Killzone 2. Resistance 2.
You saw Red Faction 2.
I did not.
I thought you did. No, Dawn of War 2. I'm sorry, Dawn of War.
Yes. Yeah. Which looked really freaking
cool.
Awesome.
I forgot. We saw Saints Row 2 as well.
If it had a 2, we saw it.
We did. We really did. Even sometimes with a 3.
Yeah.
We saw it there as well. He also took a look at the Witcher Enhanced Edition, which is great. If you've bought the Witcher already, you can get everything in the Enhanced Edition for free.
That was crazy what they did with that. I mean, re-recorded the entire dialogue for the game.
With nine different languages, from what I understand.
Added like 200-some animations to the game.
Yeah.
Just crazy amount of stuff they did.
And it's all the same. It's all going to be the same price as the game is right now anyway.
Yep.
So that's good for late adopters, I guess you could say. What else? You saw Flower, which I think is cool. I'm very interested in that game. I know...
Yeah, it's another one of those games that border on, is it really a game or is it not? I mean,
right.
The levels that they showed, it wasn't as in-depth to prove that it's like really a, because it's touted as a puzzle game, and I can kind of see where it could be. It's definitely a really good show game. I mean, the music just, it was pretty amazing.
I'm sorry, keep going. I was responding to something in the chat room there. What else did you see that last day there?
And then I saw Halo Wars, which was incredibly impressive. I mean, I was shocked. Because because I was ready for the letdown of it. But, I mean, they actually let us get some hands-on time with it. And we played a little co-op skirmish versus the computer.
Yeah, but your big emphasis on this is the controls work.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... You know, what they did, basically, is they de-emphasized the need for clicking on individual units, and they used the controller's greatest strength, the bumper and trigger buttons, to do it. So it's really easy to select. You can select everybody on the screen, you can select everybody on the map with a click of a button, and then as you have everybody highlighted, it shows you at the bottom with little icons, like everybody that's in that group. And if you want to pull out one set of guys in that group, you just trigger over real quick, and those guys are selected, and you can quickly do any action with them. And I found it incredibly easy. It worked really well. The game is gorgeous. If anybody's read the Halo books, yes, there is a mech cannon in it.
Yeah.
The space cannon from the ships, and it's freaking awesome when you launch that down on some of the enemy bases and stuff. So yeah, I had a lot of fun with that. That really is probably in my top three or four games of the show. Came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to take a look at that, but I'm glad one of us did.
Yeah, I also saw Fable 2. Didn't really get to play. I mean, I played Fable 2, but what I played was individual pieces of it separated from the whole game, if that makes sense. So, like, the one station was, like, the combat station. So I played through a bit of a level messing around with the combat and the magic. And then the other station was the socialization/town station, I guess.
They did that a lot, too. They would let you play a level, and then they would play a level for you, and then they'd say, what I'm going to do is skip here to this boss battle so you can see how that works. Yeah,
it wasn't even that they skipped around. I mean, you literally move from little setup to setup. The social aspect of the game is ridiculously detailed. I mean, the guy was telling me all the things that you can do with, like, a house in the game, right? So, obviously, you can buy houses again. You can buy houses in the first Fable. But the other things you can do with it is, like, you can actually affect the economy of a town by, like, doing things to, like, raise and lower the prices of the houses. You can, like, literally, like, bleed people dry of money in the town so they're, like, really poor, so that you can, like, just move in and buy up all the houses and then go turn around and, like, resell them for profits and stuff to other people.
Now that sounds like fun.
It's like you can get jobs. You can do, like, anything. The guy was like, you can be a blacksmith, you can be a lumberjack, you can be a bar, you can run a bar, you can do all this to get money and stuff. And then I was like, how you get, you know, there's just, like, so many things to do. I don't even know how you're going to even be able to see the entire game, it sounds like. And then, like, the social aspect of it, like, I don't remember Fable 2 well, but I think there was, like, maybe, like, four choices you had when you kind of, like, talked with people. Now there's, like, eight. And then, like, so, like, everybody has, like, certain dispositions towards you in, like, four different categories. Like, if they find you attractive, if they think you're, you know, your social status, like, where you stand among everybody. Of course, you're good and evil. And that was, like, the other thing, actually. Depending on how much money money you had, it changed how you looked, actually. So, like, if you're, like, a and poor, you'll look one way. If you're a really evil person and rich, you'll look another way. Like, it changes, even, like, the armor and the stuff you wear, depending on how rich or poor you are. So, yeah, it was pretty impressive what they showed. And, you know, the thing about you can actually use condoms in the game, so you don't actually get people pregnant. But, and the condom is like ridiculous looking. It has like these straps on it. I was like, I can't believe this is in the game.
Well, I mean, we did get slow motion bird poop in the trailer, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think Peter Molyneux has a pretty good sense of humor. Been childish at times. So that was good. Turning what else I saw on Thursday, I went into the Capcom booth and
played some Street Fighter 4, right?
Yeah, that was about all I could get on because Capcom was pretty much like EA's thing. It was just
so busy.
Yeah. So, but Street Fighter 4 is gorgeous. I mean, I think I posted a video up of it. Maybe not, but I did take some video of it. I mean, it looks, you know, it's a 3D game, but it's, you know, 2D and kind of cel shaded and stuff, and it looks really good. So.
And what else? Is that about it on the last day for you?
Yeah, I think I called it a bit early. I think I had one more appointment at like 4:30, and I wanted to get a ride to the airport, and the guy that was going to give me a ride was bailing out, so I bailed as well.
Yeah.
By that time, I was spent, so I called it a day.
Well, man, I had fun out there. We got to see The Who, so that was cool.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Even trying to get into that place was kind of cool, but still, that was a highlight for me, actually. That was the highlight of the show, was getting to see The Who outside of the whole event, so that was great.
Yeah, we got to thank Trixie for that one.
Yes.
Trixie 360 from Microsoft.
She got us into that one, and whoever helped her to get us in, thank them as well.
Yeah, it was one of the Rock Band dudes.
So that was great. We got a lot of people to thank, though, don't we?
Yeah, we wanted to go through, because, you know, the original plan was, hey, we're going to bring back a bunch of swag and we're going to give it out to...
No swag.
I got
Left 4 Dead mints and I drank my new Coca-Cola.
And we got a notebook.
What's amusing.
It was like, I mean, it was worse than like, we didn't, there was no t-shirts. I mean, nothing. I don't...
It was sad swag. It was barely anything there.
So what we decided, at least to start with, we want to at least thank, what do we have, a list of about 50 people that did donate money to us to cover a hotel and stuff.
Yeah, everybody donated, and it was great, and you covered the hotel for us, and it was nice. And so, you know.
Yeah, because I think, honestly, if we had to pay for this out of our pocket this year, I would be pretty fucking...
Push the button.
I didn't quite get it all out, so I think we're all right.
Yeah. You got out enough, dude.
I'm pretty pissed.
You know, the elbow broke whenever you were check swinging yourself there. That was a total strike.
Cross the plate, huh?
Yes, it did. So anyway, oh man, there's a lot. How do you want to go through this? Just alternate back and forth?
Well, I'll take for it. I'll cut down the first half of the list here, and then you can cut down the second half.
All right, I'll follow you.
All right, so first we got to give the extra special thanks to Track Zero because
he donated the most, but he donated a lot.
Yeah, we won't say, but. Yeah, he went above and beyond the Call of Duty. And then two other people that really did, too, was Mott Wachorb in UW Crash.
Mott got married this past weekend, so congratulations to Mott.
Congrats to him. And we made fun of him on the podcast. So he got the...
He did. We did make
fun
of him.
Triple diss there. So, and then also love to thank Melba Toast, Purple Santa, Giga Fuzz, Flat Picker, Speck, National Kato, Mike B., Violent P. I haven't seen Violent P on the forums.
Well, he's violent now. He dropped the P.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know why.
I haven't seen him lately. All right, keep going. Tomask, Jeff Fool, Codename, Jackal, Mr. Slim, Imp New. I mean, some of these people, we barely even post, and they,
yeah,
they even donated, so that was pretty awesome. And then I guess finally here we got Sazim, and then you can take the list.
You leave me with poo-poo.
it says po-po.
All right, fine. You can go po-po. I was going to go poo-poo, W-R-X. And then you leave me with Rishiran and Anar.
I know. It's fun to watch you struggle.
You did this on purpose.
I approve.
Then Coop, Halick, Wired Insanity, Jedi Sanf, Ranger 43, Jedi. Oh, God, man. Screw you. Binky Hemi, J Public, Dragon Nux, Aceus 1019, M.23 Mashadar, Slipstream, thank you as well. Crash Tard, Eternal Gamer, Sandman, Swap Peanut, Furtive, Garonmon, Garonmon, whatever that is. And there's some other names there, but we're not sure what their screen names are, huh?
Yeah, we tried to map everybody to their screen names, but you know, there's about, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 other people that we couldn't. So thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thanks to everybody.
Hopefully, we can figure something out. I don't know what yet. I'm determined to come up with something for everybody.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. So thanks everybody who donated for that and getting us out there. But yeah, we had a great time at your expense, in a sense. Even though we had to pay, we paid for the flight to get out there, but you guys paid for the hotel there, and it was great, and we thank you for that as well. And thank you, Bap, for you know, pulling some strings there to get me invited to E3 altogether. So
no problem. Hopefully, a lot of them show up to PAX, and we'll buy some people drinks and stuff.
Yeah, I'm hoping, assuming there's an E3 next year, I'm hoping we can get a few more people to go out there with us.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I know. I don't know how you did this as one person last year.
It was really rough. It's been, last year it was really bad because it was running from place to place. At least this year we were in one building. It was just running from hallway to hallway.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And then this year, even so, we were still a little short on time meeting with some of these developers.
You know, one thing, I don't know if you touched on it, Noah, and some people really didn't understand how the show worked. I don't know if we wanted to kind of talk about the layout and stuff, because I posted the video that was like the walkthrough of the show floor.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are under the assumption that that's like the only thing that was there.
Yeah, no. There's little meeting rooms and different things like that all throughout the convention center.
Right. Basically, what's happened this year is where the behind-the-closed-door meetings were at the old E3 are now what the booths have become, right? So, like, everybody kind of built their booths in these, like, little, you know, 20 by 30 rooms. They weren't very big. And then shoved everybody in that with limited air conditioning.
Yeah. Oh, God, it got hot.
Some of them were brutal. That was where the meat of the show was. So there was, you know, there was, what, like, 3 hallways, maybe?
And some were just so far away from everything, like the Warner Brothers. You had to walk.
That first morning, that was we couldn't. We missed the shuttle. We couldn't find the shuttle, so we had to walk like a mile and a half to the convention center, and
it just kept
all
going
all the way to the other side of the convention.
It just kept going, and so and these were scattered all over. And of course, when you're making these schedules, you have no idea where they're going to be, so you just kind of make the schedules as they come, and so sometimes it's over here on the first floor, and then you gotta go downstairs but across the entire building to get to the next meeting room, and then of course you've only got 30 minutes with these people for the most part to see everything that they've got there, and it just, time is such a factor there. I hope we have more people to go to this next year so that we can schedule and split up and everybody can go do their thing. So
yeah, I mean, I'd say we 5 people really. you would probably need to efficiently cover everything.
Yeah, I agree.
And not only that, and just to, you know, how many times did I say, all right, we have like 45 minutes, I'm going to go back and write up some stuff, and it never happened. It just, you know, the time just disappeared by the time I got settled and went there to write up whatever. You know, I think I got 2 whole articles written actually at the show.
It was tough to get anything squeezed in there, so. But you know, we did it. We did as best we could, and I'm really happy with everything we got done, too.
I mean, Agent Fox and Dr. Finger really helped.
Oh, God, they did great.
So thank you to them, too.
It almost felt like I didn't even need to go to the press briefings, because they pretty much took care of it all together.
Yeah, I mean, we really did. I mean, we had some of the other press briefings on our schedule, but we're like, you know what? Our time can be better spent at some of these other things than that.
How'd you like? Did you guys hear what Capcom did at their press thing? So, Capcom, everybody was going into Capcom. Apparently, Capcom didn't talk about their games. They brought out a panel of people working on the Lost Planet movie. And that was it. People went in there expecting games, but they got David Hayter.
Which isn't a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad
thing. It was an hour of the other guys, too.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad thing, but the entire hour was talking about Lost Planet. They showed concept artwork from the game, not from the film. They showed the trailer from the game, not from the film. And that's all they talked about was Lost Planet. They did not talk about Resident Evil, Street Fighter. They didn't talk about any of their properties. It was just the Lost Planet movie. That's all they talked about for an entire hour.
Yeah, I have nothing to say.
There was a lot of people who were upset by that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were.
Well, to hear you talk so much about the inability of even a couple of people to get around and see everything they really feel like they need to see,
mm-hmm.
to then hear that you wind up in a place here or a place there, this particular briefing, this particular conference, that essentially winds up being a waste of time, it's like, thanks, man.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot.
And maybe to some people that wasn't a waste of time. There was also the story posted where the keynote speaker, that governor of Texas guy.
Yeah.
20 people showed up. Oh, that's great.
That'll learn them.
Not only did they not get a person like that anybody really cared about for this thing, but they scheduled it right in the middle of like everybody's appointments and stuff.
They really
What did they expect to happen?
Yeah. It was bad. And maybe they'll learn next time, if there is a next time, and we'll go into that here in just a little bit. But anyway, we're going to take a break here, Nick. Thanks a bunch for calling in, buddy.
Yeah, no problem, and I'm looking forward to PAX already.
I know. I was looking forward to it while I was at E3 with all that running around. I can understand now, while when we went to PAX last year, you said, you know what, I'm just going to relax here.
Yeah. I said, I'm not working.
Yeah, I'm not working. I'm not gonna run around and do all this stuff. I'm just gonna relax. And I understand that now. Before I was like, how can you? You get to talk to all these cool people working on games. How can you relax? I totally understand what you're talking about now. So, but thanks for calling in, and we'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, and sorry for swearing on the air.
Yeah, it's all right.
Almost swearing.
Don't do it again. I don't think it's built up yet, so I can press the button.
All right.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks, man.
Some of the games we did not see at E3, Alan Wake, which of course we're going to be seeing, was it Tokyo Game Show?
TGS, in October.
Which will be nice, from not having heard, you know,
I hope so.
Word one.
It'll
but
be
we
nice
hope it'll
hear.
Be nice. To
I hope it'll be worth waiting
depends
for.
Depends on what they're going to do. Is it going to be another short teaser and then that's it? We don't hear about it again? I don't know. I'm interested to see. You know, during the show when we were talking about, somebody mentioned Crackdown 2 in the chat room, which obviously I wasn't expecting to see, but APB wasn't anywhere near E3 that we saw either. Some of the other ones that we thought of was Prototype.
No Prototype, no Colonial Marines.
No Colonial Marines, exactly. We did see Borderlands.
Yeah. Well, while you're thinking, you know, Randy Pitchford.
Yeah.
Because he really wanted us to be able to see, he feels very, very good about Colonial Marines. Sega felt otherwise, you know, didn't want it publicized yet. That's perfectly fine. I had no expectation about Borderlands at all anywhere. Like, I knew it was there.
I still don't, because I haven't seen it.
I'll think about it. And I watched the videos. And if you have no understanding or disposition, like, relative to Borderlands, I suggest you watch the videos. They're out there to be found.
I'll be doing that after we're done here.
Of Randy talking about the playthrough. And it's extensively cool. Like, it's very crisp, very sharp. It's running amazingly well. There's still an alpha, and it was, I believe, on the 360, if what I understood from the videos was correct. Procedurally generated weapons, so that, you know, proclaimed 500,000 number of possible weapons really doesn't seem like crap anymore. Like, it, I can believe it. Like, it's an extremely interesting thing to watch. It's a shooter. It's got co-op. That's great. But it's a shooter with RPG elements. nothing groundbreaking there, but it looked... I really wanted to play it. I really wanted to either grab a mouse and keyboard or a controller or something and start playing it right there.
What, is it this year, or is it... Or what do we know?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. We may.
Find those videos. Was it game trailers? Is that where it was at? Or
No. I can't remember where I saw them at, actually.
We need to. We should find those, because I do. I want to see exactly what it is you saw. I don't want to go out there looking and find something else. I want to see what it was you saw.
Yeah, we'll take a look at that later. But those are great. I was really, really happy to see that. The last on my list of things I was really happy about, to some degree, was Dragon Age Origins.
Yeah.
Because we'd been, you know...
Saw that was a trailer.
Yeah, here's the thing. Let me tell you something. The E3 special trailer that was announced as an announcement a week leading up to it was very underwhelming. I don't know if any of you guys had the same opinion. It was all like that was EA's idea of what this game should be represented as to the E3 crowd, as the E3 official trailer. It was so unbelievably yawn-inducing to me. It was pretty. It was obviously using powerful in-game assets to render a cutscene, but it was like, seriously? And then, as time went on, I don't even know if it was official, but we started seeing gameplay video. That turned me around completely on it. I'm extremely excited about it now. Good, fairly old-school style of CRPG gameplay. I was really happy about it. A little dismayed at the lack of multiplayer, because that party would be awfully nice if it was filled with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not asking for anything new. That's a fairly straightforward, traditional way of approaching that kind of thing. But whatever. The gameplay segments that I saw were extremely nice. Why in the world they would want to sedate me with a bunch of cinematic rendering, I don't know, when they could have shown me gameplay and gotten me amazingly excited. I think they probably lost a lot of people with that official trailer. And with any luck, those people will have access to the gameplay and get turned back around. So... I was very interested in the whole thing because there was a build-up. The thing we were building up to itself was a letdown. And then, you know, if you exposed yourself enough to the internet to find these additional gameplay trailers, then it was worth the look.
That's the one that's spiritual successor to Baldur's Gate? Yeah, that's what I thought. So
I was really happy to see that. I would have liked, you know, a full-throated announcement and... of the BioWare Knights of the Old Republic MMO.
Instead, you get a blurb
that is happening instead of, like, you know, Riticello being chased around an interview, like, trying to pin him down. Like, come on, man. Just give it to me. But no, that's not there. And then...
And the Bungie thing. How does that... See, this is like... This would be like BioWare putting up... Or not BioWare. Blizzard putting up that splash screen all the way to the very end, and then Activision says, whoa.
Yeah.
You can't reveal that yet. Because they did that little thing on their website, teasing everything up to the point of it.
Yeah, they were ready to go with this.
Oh, they were so ready to go with this. And apparently Microsoft told them not to, from what I understand. And so I have no idea what it was they were working on or anything like that. And then, you know, you get the letter saying... Sorry, we can't talk about this. We've been told by our publisher, they made that very clear, that we cannot mention this. We do apologize for all the teasing we did up until that point.
So. Well, and I think, too, it was poorly handled on Microsoft's end. You know, if it comes to the point where you didn't want this released, but that was the wrong time to step in.
Yeah.
When you've already got the you know, website splash page up, you've already got the major... You've already got the community abuzz about this thing. That's when you have to go, well, we wish we didn't hit... We wish this wasn't coming now, but... that point is too late to stop it. That was a really bad PR move, I thought, on their part.
I don't know. I think that it was...
I understand the logic of it.
I think it was very crass, but I think it might actually turn out to be a good PR move. They had an enormous amount of really good PR. They may have seen at that point that, you know what, this is something we could use later. This is something that would be awfully nice to have at this date in the future, at this particular conference or exposition or showcase event. So, you know what? No. We're saving this for later. We've done enough here now. You know, that's kind of how I
see,
look at
I see
it.
The logic of that. And I mean, it's, you know, from it's 100%.
It completely sucks. But I also think it's possibly a very good PR thing. Because later when they get to it, they're going to be like, okay, now that thing. Yeah, you remember that thing? Now you want to hear about it even more.
Yeah,
you might
I
not
mean,
think you do,
yeah.
but
it
you
is
really,
an anticipation
really do.
Thing. But it was kind of—I mean, it was just—I don't know. I thought it was a poor move. I thought it was poor.
Yeah, it was
poorly managed.
It was really bad.
And you know, because there's a point where
they
have to go. All right, whatever. This doesn't yeah. work. No, they don't. And it, considering how E3 went in the, anyway, like it's not like whatever. You can't really be too angry with them because if that's the worst that they did, all you have to do is go. Oh, look at the Nintendo
look
press
at all this
conference,
other stuff, yeah.
and then you're like, "Oh, well, that's not so bad."
So
it's interesting to note, though, because they're no longer owned by Microsoft.
Yeah,
yeah.
This would not have happened if they were still under that roof, because communication would have been.
They wouldn't have gone this far.
They never would have even broken the fence. But when you're not owned anymore, when you're your own entity,
yeah.
we're going to do what we want. We'll tell you about it, but we're going to do what we want until, of course, you get that.
Until you tell us we can't.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know, better to beg for forgiveness than ask for permission. Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely, it is.
And so that's what I think stuck out there. So yeah, we've still got conversation about this. It's going to go into the after show here. You know, what is E3 significant anymore?
Well, yeah, that makes you wonder. It makes you wonder, like, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
What does it matter?
And I want to go into that, but I also want to give the regular. What have we been playing? Because you have a new PC now.
I do have a new PC.
And I believe, from looking at MouseLook, you guys have been playing Diablo 2.
Not as much as you might think.
Okay.
Yeah, we've been trying to play Diablo 2.
There's a lot going on.
What have you been, Jeremy, what have you been playing? Other than Trism over there, what have you been playing?
Man, thank you for handing this to me. man, I've...
You done with it, or are you?
No.
Okay, well, fine.
If you want it back, I'll give it back.
I may need to charge the battery.
Oh, man, what have I played? We played some Diablo 2. I played the Portal Flash Map Pack, which is apparently what the extra
that's
levels
gonna,
are
that's
in
gonna,
Still
that
Alive.
Content in, yeah. yeah, Still Alive.
So I'm like, hey, if I've already got access to it, I may as well play it. So I've played a little bit through that. And what else? I've played a lot of stuff, and I can't remember half of it right now. I don't know. Come back to me, and I'll
Daniel, what have you been playing?
Let's see. I have dabbled in Diablo 2 again, which has been a blast. I mean, it's just such a good game. Even coming back to it after a while, it's still a whole lot of fun. So that was good. I spent a large amount of time with My Life as a King on the Wii.
Oh, wow.
The level of polish for being a WiiWare title is I've been very impressed. I've spent so much time with that. It's really, really, really good.
Anything else?
You know, I've been sitting in front of the TV with the Wiimote in my hand. Like, that's really... largely what I've been playing. It's been really impressive how much time I've sunk into that.
You gonna pick up a Wii Motion Plus?
No.
All right, good.
Well, this is the best part. There's no motion controls.
Oh, okay.
That's the best part about the game. There's no motion. I don't have to wiggle anything. I can just sit on the couch.
Yeah, you can use your classic controller as well.
And nice. I can use one hand, too. So that's the best part. So, like, if my hand gets tired, I just switch it to the other hand, and I'm one-handed controls, very simple, very strategic, not much action, so it's very easy to, like, you know, eat dinner and just set the controller down or whatever. It doesn't really affect anything. It's quite nice. I've been playing and I play that and I'm like, man, why can't games on Xbox Live Arcade be this good? Because, like, I mean, there are a handful of really good games on the arcade, you know, but this beats a lot of arcade titles. Very easily beats a lot of them. And I'm like, I want more stuff with this level of quality at this price point. That would
maybe
be great.
Maybe if Microsoft could change the whole slice of the pie arrangement.
Yeah, maybe
we'd
see
some
that.
Of that.
Yeah, maybe we'd see that. But so that's been a lot of fun, and I, you know, I'm glad to have the Wii to pick up things like that. I guess that's what it's for. It's for things like that.
All right. Well, that's about it. I'd go on to Dennis and James, but we've only got
you ain't got enough time.
We
for
got
me.
10 seconds. So that's gonna do it. We're gonna go downstairs and do the after show. You can join us. We'll have the cam running on that and listen to us talk about E3 significance and Deer Hunter. You want to stick around for that one? Next, we'll see you next week. That's
Diablo
on.
2 is already taking this long enough.
Yeah, cool. That works.
Well, this is what happens when it's like this group of multiple humans is going to experience this content in order together.
Yeah.
I've been with some variation of this group of multiple humans for a long time now, and it simply doesn't work that way.
Because y'all are all, Your last hour was at Act Two with the cube, right?
Yeah, we got our Heratric cubes.
Well, where have you been? Me and Daniel been sitting online.
Yeah. Look.
And you're the guy that doesn't work.
I'm so very, very sorry for you, but I have an enormous backlog of shit to work through.
I went over to his place and he was installing Age of Conan, and
well, it's better. I'm glad you. I'm just glad you.
He had already installed WoW. And
well, that's what
and Eve you'd already put back on there, right?
Yeah, I've got four MMOs right now.
Good lord, man.
And I'm playing World War II Online with Kevin.
You've got like nearly a $60 MMO bill alone?
No, there's only, I'm only paying for one.
Oh, okay.
Because everything else is either on free trial or welcome back, don't pay money kind of thing right now.
Okay.
I won't wind up. I'll tell you.
This is good because I wanted to find out what you were playing.
I probably don't know. I don't know in the immediate future if I'll continue on with Eve. I'm having a little trouble regulating my personal schedule, like how I want to, like, lay out the stuff I want to play, and then do the work I want to do on that stuff. I had to go back. Hell, Eve was the first thing I installed, actually, once I put my new box together. Which, I swear to God, I hate building PCs. I hate it. I put it together, I took all day, it's clean, it's crisp, beautiful, you know, interior to the box and everything. But there's that moment, there's that second where you have to push that button.
You sweat bullets.
Like, and it doesn't matter, You can't not do it. You've spent this money. You intend to do this thing with this computer, this something's going to last you for 2 years. You have to push this button. And this is what you get with, like, a full upgrade, like a total rebuild.
Yeah.
And I was there, and I was like, I got to push this fucking button. And I was like, really don't want to push the fucking button. Holy shit.
I think I called when you were at that point.
Yeah.
That's how I called him to see how I was going, and he's like, I'm at the push button stage. I think I'm going to make a sandwich.
No, that's exactly what I told him. I was like, I'm really hungry, like, because it was like, 2 p.m, 3 a.m.
Yeah, it was late. I haven't eaten.
I'm starting to get like, I need to eat, because if I push the button
and it doesn't work,
I got to start troubleshooting. And like, I got to be cool. So I went off and made a couple sandwiches, had some OJ, brought the blood sugar back up, walked back into the room. It was just like, it was brilliant. It was perfect. Posted perfectly. Everything's working brilliantly.
100%.
There was one. I have only had one problem, only one minor problem, and there were a lot of nightmares I was expecting to possibly have to deal with. Weirdnesses about, like, I got 1066 RAM, and a lot of people are saying that different revisions of so many motherboards don't understand what that is. They don't understand the CAS timings and the clock speed of the RAM innately, so you have to go in there and fuddle around with it, and. You know, that stuff's changed a bit since last I was involved with overclocking and doing all that sort of stuff. So that was perfectly fine. The Vista install was, like, just as a single note to cover a large thing, man, I really like Vista. Like, it ain't perfect, and don't misunderstand this for a well-educated opinion. I've only been using it for like a week and a half, and I am not using it for productivity. I have my Mac for that. I much prefer computing in the Mac environment. I'm really very pleased with Vista. It's extremely powerful, and I know it means a lot to have a system that can handle it. I like it. I tell you what, trying to figure out how certain things worked when I was dealing with it, and it's like, how do I get this set up to do what I want to do? How do I check all these settings and verify various things and install games and do the stuff? I was like, all right, I'm going to do precisely what I did with my Mac. What's the most rudimentary, not necessarily smart, but just basic way to get what I want? And I would try to do that thing. And not with nearly the degree of success that Mac OS gets you there in that way of thinking, but it was pretty close. It was like, it was easy to figure out how to do stuff. And I was okay with it. And I'm still okay with it. I like it a lot. It hasn't mistreated me. I have to click OK on a lot of things, but I don't mind, you know? Like, I don't understand that to be such a huge problem. So, I don't know, whatever. I like it a lot. I'm happy with this stuff.
Gets the job done for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's very pretty.
You know, it's awful nice.
It's clean. It's smooth. I'm running it too.
I'm actually quite happy with it, and it's plenty snappy, plenty fast. Again, I got a hell of a machine. You know, but whatever. The only problem I've had, the only piece of troubleshooting I've had to do, and unfortunately I can't resolve, is that I cannot, in Vista, drivers installed, I cannot get my video card to output in Vista through DVI. I am forced to put the DVI to VGA adapter on and run my monitor in VGA. The VGA port, or the DVI ports are perfectly fine. They're perfectly fine, because if I plug my monitor up through DVI, through the entire post process, everything is perfect. All the way up through the little Caterpillar crawl loading windows. Mm-hmm. Once it clicks into Windows, I get no signal. I have researched endlessly, like out to every corner I can. There are tons and tons and tons and tons of anecdotal stories of this happening to different people. It is probably the weirdest computer problem I've ever tried to troubleshoot, because some people seem to have similar causes, like similar ways of understanding how this happened and when this happened. Some people have found fixes for it, and these fixes do nothing for me.
Chairman.
Oh, okay.
He said DVI cable instead of a DVI-B cable.
Yeah, I mean, I've read of that you working. I've read of that working and not working. I've read of like all these things working and not working. And I've stopped my troubleshooting at this point. I plan to pick it up again because it was frustrating me, and I wanted to get down to the getting stuff installed, playing games, and all this other stuff. I'll go back to it. I really would rather be running my monitor through DVI, because it's a little bit of sharpness that I'm losing. Not a lot, but a little bit. I don't have a great monitor anyway. I bought kind of the monitors of all the components, it's of the lowest quality. Everything else was of the highest quality. I knew that a monitor could be replaced later without being wasted money, because it could become a second monitor for a two-monitor system. But it's just this weird thing, and it's so very, very strange in all of its aspects and all these different things. So it's somewhere between Vista, the drivers, and the monitor's EDID information. But nobody knows exactly where. You can't quite triangulate where the problem exists. But it's not a really big problem, so whatever. Otherwise, it's the cleanest, best build I've ever done. I was so happy with it, because it's been so long since I did it, I really wasn't in the mood to troubleshoot. I just don't have the tools in my head to deal with it anymore. But thanks to the recommendations of Evil Avatar people, mainly. I mean, that's pretty much where it wasn't the end of my research, but it was the beginning of my research. It's how I figured out which directions I wanted to go. I'm completely happy with it. Even the damn Ram fans, man. Crazy looking fuckers.
They're crazy, man. I was like, what the?
They're crazy as shit, but they're pretty cool once you get them on there, as long as you don't go fucking around.
I wouldn't touch them.
No,
it's pretty cool seeing those little guys. I was like, man, that looks pretty awesome. It looks very futuristic. They have this really sci-fi look to have.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love the box. So I've been installing all sorts of stuff. I bought and installed Team Fortress 2. I still haven't participated in that.
Did you get invited into the group? Or?
Yeah, I just... that's just specifically something I haven't done. Because I wanted to, like, play it. You know, get a sense of it. I mean, I'm pretty decent with any first-person shooter type of thing. I'm very quick to pick it up. But I mean, I reactivated both my WoW accounts just because, whatever.
Both his WoW accounts, which he can run simultaneously.
But yeah, which I found that, like, with my hardware and with the way Vista chooses to run, I just, like, decided to boot up my other... I was like, I'll just boot up another instance of the thing. So I clicked the thing, and it opened up again. So I had, like, my two accounts running. Sitting in Shattrath with both characters, neither one drops below 50 frames per second.
That's pretty nice.
And everything is maxed out. I mean, seriously, come on.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is really hot.
Yeah, that's pretty great. On the same box.
I totally don't have to ask some other mage for water.
Ooh. You're like, oh, I need some... Oh, wait, I'll just get me to do it.
Yeah. It's kind of fun. I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do unless you go through a bunch of shady dual boxing stuff, which I'm not interested in. It's just... I thought it was very cool, because it was like... I can, you know, there are a couple little things I can be doing. I have, like... my auction bot on one account sitting in Stormwind checking stuff if I need it. Whatever, just stupid stuff. I don't really play like that very often. Like, I could hover over the little minimized window down at the bottom, and it, like, pops up this little, like, 2-inch by 1.5-inch yeah. real-time
preview
of it.
The preview thing that the Vista does is nice.
Yeah.
I like
it's, that. It's a very fun operating environment, honestly. If you got the cash to buy the system that can run it, it's pretty cool.
Cash to buy the...
The system, the operating system itself.
Or the, the program itself.
Yeah, that really irked me. I took a risk and bought an OEM copy.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you ended up?
I just didn't like the idea of spending the so full much. Amount for the retail. It kind of bothered me because I was working within a budget I'd established for myself, and I was just like, man, $100 for the OEM, like freaking $300 almost for the retail.
Okay, here's what's
not quite much cheaper for home premium, but still, yeah. It's still like $230.
Here's what's odd, and maybe you can figure this out. I opened up my Nick, when we got to LA, he brought his copy, or his extra copy, of Ultimate, mm-hmm. Vista Ultimate. It's got the 34 and the 64 on it.
Mm-hmm. Which was another thing that pissed me off, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I was told that you could get 64-bit in any of the retail versions. So I was just going to buy home premium retail. 64-bit DVD doesn't come in the box. You have to, like, send off to fucking Microsoft, and then they'll ship you the 64-bit.
Yeah.
Media. And I was like, what the fuck is this? I want this home premium 64-bit. I want it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I mean, I was gonna wait. So the only option was to either wait, go up to Ultimate, which has the 64-bit media in the box, or get the OEM version, which is very specific. It is one specific version. That's what I did.
The product key that comes with this Ultimate version that I've got, or Ultimate Vista, or whatever. Here's the situation. I have two discs. I have a 34-bit version of Vista, and I have a 64-bit version of Vista.
Yeah. Ultimate. They're both your copy of Vista.
Okay. So, like, I couldn't give somebody a disc that already has a product key, and then them activate the 32-bit Ultimate.
I'm not quite sure what you just said.
You've got a product key.
For home premium.
For home, okay. So it's just, okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
right. The product key is for... The version, for your copy, air quotes, of the version. let's say I bought regular, normal, well, I mean, this is the situation you're in, right? You got a home premium 32-bit.
Yeah.
Right? If at any point you feel like upgrading to 64-bit, you can send off for the media, they'll send him the thing, and he can reinstall, like do a 64. Complete wipe and do a reinstall 64, but it's still his copy of Windows. It's good for both of those. They are not considered separate things.
Right, okay.
That's kind of
how that product key that's on that box is tied to those two discs, and when that activates that once, then I have to...
It's not tied to the discs. It's tied to...
Home premium.
It's tied to... Not the discs. The installation.
Gotcha.
More specifically. It's a little funny, but... It ain't the world it used to be. That's all I'll really say about my previous... Yeah. You know... Use of Windows. I will say that buying this copy of Windows was a very new experience for me. That's what I'll say.
Yeah.
From a company whose previous attempts at anti-piracy consisted of nothing more than do not make illegal copies of this disc printed on the disc. So. But whatever. Yeah, so games. Well, I went right back on. EVE Online went on. Team Fortress 2, I mean, I had to get all of my freaking Steam stuff, like, reinstalled. Seriously, for, like, forever. 4 days. Yeah. For 4 days, this is what I did. And, like, when I was, like, updating World of Warcraft, which took, like, seriously 4 hours from my original retail discs all the way back up, like, pissed Dana off to no end. Because, like... She,
I bet that slowed up her bad company.
Man, it fucked up her bad company. She was like, come here, look at this.
It was super bad company.
I'm moving back and forth, but I'm not, like, moving. And I was like, what the hell are you doing? Like, I thought the analog stick was fucked up. And then I saw, like, two people run by in that very distinctive stuttering.
Lagway.
I was like, oh, shit, I'm so sorry. I've done this to you. And she's like, when's it done? When are you done? Are you done now? When are you going to be done?
Oh, man. I'm glad that Pershing could have been there for the breaking of the news.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll be done in 4 hours.
No. I figured since I was installing a Blizzard product, I would use Blizzard's answer. Soon.
Soon.
I just got like another, you know.
Soon.
I was, you know, but I thought about it. I was like, she's mad because I'm messing up her Bad Company. I'm really amused that she loves Bad Company, so I'll be totally okay with that. But, man, it's like days. I'm like, I'm not even kidding you. Days of like, am I going to play something today? Or am I going to install some shit? Because that's like
that
how the world was.
Yeah.
But I picked up Stalker, Stalacker, started playing that.
Yeah.
That was something else I started playing.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, Kev bought that for me. Because I bought him Portal. And so I turned it on, and he was like, yeah, have you turned on Steam yet? And I was like, no, why? He's like, because I got you present. So, yeah, Stalker.
I like it. Obviously, I haven't made much progress in it yet.
Me either.
I
did the first little, you know, the first mission that they hand you.
Yeah.
That's all I've done so far.
I, you know, and I reinstalled a lot of old stuff because I have a clear memory of how some of that stuff ran. And so it's nice to benchmark it in my mind. Against other things.
Things that you had to turn down before, now you can just, like, bump them all the way up and laugh.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Sort of laugh and be like, oh, you're actually kind of ugly.
Yeah. Well,
not
you
quite
know. That's what happened.
The system crippling thing that I once
considered
you to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I installed, speaking of unfortunately kind of ugly, got the trial client version of World War II online. To go play with Kevin, because I've been wanting to play with that with him for a really long time, but like I was on my Mac, and the Mac client doesn't work very well. So I went and I got that, and it's very, what a strange-ass game. What a strange game. It's so very weird. It's, some of it is like perfectly fine. All right, think back to like flight sims that we used to play like in the late 90s, and like the level of detail, the level of sort of advanced architecture you would find when you flew really low.
Yeah.
Like, it's reminiscent of that. Because, in essence, that's what you're doing. Because there's dudes, like, having air battles above your head all the time.
Yeah.
You're playing on the ground of somebody else's flight sim. And, like, when you spawn inside a building, it's just like, oh God, this isn't good at all. And it's not.
They're, like, single-color texture walls.
No, there's, like, 4 or 5 of them. Colors.
that's better than Maya. I had that. You know that gray that all buildings were in games for a long time.
Yeah.
I had that. Just 4 basic 3D.
Yeah.
That color gray. Well, so at least there's like 5 colors.
Well, so but then when you basically like when you get over yourself, like there's a very immediate sense that. There's a lot of expertise in this game. This game is not, like, if you jump in and your only concern is the color of the wall, you are in the wrong game. And I've known for very long exactly what it is, because Kevin's been playing it for a while, and I've been living vicariously through him. So I got into it, we did our thing, he was kind of, like, carrying me around, and we did some training, and he was, like, telling me what all this stuff means. And at a certain point, he was like, all right, whatever, we got to go get some guys. Like, I just have to do that. So we went out, and, you know, I met with, like, a pretty decent amount of moderate sort of success. Like, 2 play sessions, I've killed, like, 17 guys, I think, which I understand is...
Half the player base?
Acceptable. I don't know. I would retort with something
easy,
more specific.
It was
right?
an easy stab.
It is by no means devoid of people.
Which is
There are a lot of people.
Which is a testament to the quality.
Yes. If you simply must strip away your need for it to look like Call of Duty and look at what it is. And it's a functional landscape for a very, very aggressive, very expert-oriented gameplay. It is not noob-friendly. And it doesn't fucking care what you think about that. You will either learn how to be good at this or you will not. And that's what it is. And I was like, well, how weird can this be? Like, you know, so I got my rifle. And we got there and we were doing our thing. And I'm pretty good with the rifle. You know, I'm pretty good killing guys. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not like the best player in any of these types of things. But like in COD 4, Battlefield BC, like I can kill some guys. I'm not I don't have a real high KD ratio. I'm not terribly efficient. But no, not nearly as good as you. I don't like to tell her which side of the KD ratio means what. Which one of those numbers has a particular meaning.
She sees one's higher than yours.
Right.
I'm better.
I am way better at dying than you are.
But no, it's good. I mean, I could belittle it all I wanted, but like, dude, the first time I saw a guy and like the feeling it gave me, I was like, geez, there's a guy over there. Like, I know what this game is and how lethal it is that he's even like 400 yards away.
Yeah.
And the fact that like Kevin and I ranged out in a long arc and like cut off their mobile spawn and I fucking shot a guy in the back as he was running past me. Like, dude, my heart rate was up. I was like, this is the ugliest thing I've ever been excited about, but like, I totally don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
I do not care. It is so completely solid.
Well, speaking of great gameplay, but something that doesn't look all that great.
All right. We pulled this earlier. You did not play it?
I have not played it yet.
You have not played it.
I've downloaded it.
You have not played it.
I have not played it.
Do your best, Dev. Like, do your best to play it as soon as you possibly can. You have?
I have.
And we're talking about the two human demo.
Yeah, we're talking about it. I've played it all the way through.
And I watched him play it.
Well, yeah, that counts for something.
No, I'll be playing it this week. This
like,
weekend, yeah.
I don't know what I don't like. I don't know where to come from with that game. I don't know exactly how it was supposed to feel. I just know that like, Dyack's not afraid to put himself out there. He's not afraid to answer someone when they have some shit to say about his game. We all know that there have been some ugly things said about it going back like a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we know, like, a lot of his reasonings for why it is what it is. And it's like, we've kind of seen the videos, and I've seen the videos. And I was like, hey, it doesn't look all that good, man. It just doesn't. And there was such a head of steam built up against the game. The simple fact that there was negativity, like this cloud of negativity, and no game to compare it against. So the only word was the bad word.
It really made me afraid. I was like, God, I really wanted this to be good.
What the hell do we need shitty games for? Nobody needs shitty games. I don't even know why people want stuff to be bad sometimes. What the hell does shitty games do for any of us? There's no reason we can't have a world filled with all awesome games. I don't understand. There doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
There is no measure.
Well,
there is no quality and balance. It's like, whatever. You don't need the game to be shitty so that the next game is more likely to be good. I don't know why people do this, and I don't know why they dogpiled on Dyack.
Well, but because people have their favorite.
Why am I astonished that the internet is full of assholes?
Yeah. Well, see, people have their favorite, and they want it to be so much better than everything else. They have to degrade everything else that's around it to make their favorite look better.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, see, clearly all this is going to be absolutely worthless crap, so you're also going to be playing this because it's clearly awesome because I love it.
Which that must be what it is.
People don't realize that there can be different games for different people.
Well, it's
incredible.
Worst teams. They pick a side in an argument, and then they support it, and the other guy has to be completely wrong. All of his shit is terrible. It stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all that can go to hell because... No, it absolutely can. And, you know, we touch on this... I don't know why I bring this up all the time, but it's just some stupid thing that some analyst said about, you know, playable demos not being good. Don't release playable demo before your game comes out or fuck sales up. Man, fuck that all to hell.
I want
to
fuck that guy up.
Yeah. All right, look. The frame rate issues, they're not really there. I think a lot of people are sort of confused in what they're seeing. The animation, the frames of animation in this game, they're really not very good. The writing is not... clean. It's not crisp. It's not snappy. It doesn't work. The story, the treatment that I'm sure exists on a piece of paper somewhere, is really kind of solid. It's really, really interesting. I don't think the writing and the voice acting and the direction, I don't think that's going to live up to it. The animation is pretty dreadful. People in this game are some ugliest human beings I've ever seen rendered in a video game. Like, not like System Shock 2 ugly or anything like that, but like, they're not very pretty.
No, they're not. They're
the game itself sort of vacillates between being like, well, this is sort of a boring-looking weird area where everybody's, like, skate-walking along the ground, which I thought we kind of got rid of 8-9 years ago or whatever, to, like, some environments that look really, 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 really cool. And I was just like, you know, going through the introductory nature of this game in the demo, and it's like, guys, it's not really a very stellar sort of thing. But then you get to the moment of combat. Like you get to that threshold, that moment. And if you've paid any attention at all, you're ahead of the curve. You know that the right stick controls your melee. So you tell your brain not to try to use the right stick to control the camera.
Which is pretty easy to get over.
It is.
It was really pretty
You're
going
to do it a few times.
You will.
Whatever.
There will be times that you're running down a stairway and all of a sudden you're like, ah, sword! And you're like, oh, dang it.
I think my favorite function was definitely the battle cry.
Yeah. And the camera centering was not great. It was a snap too, not a swing round. It was a little weird. Once I figured out that there's like 10 camera settings or something ridiculous like that, distance and position settings, I pulled it out to the furthest, most like an isometric perspective. I think a little further out and a little higher up, and it would be perfect. But the auto camera is actually pretty good.
I only had it mess up on me once.
Yeah.
Like, there was one time, the whole thing, then I was like, I can't see what's going on. Yeah. But for an auto camera, that's not
you
bad.
You tap your bumper and it recenters it behind your dude, but it's pretty smart. And when you're talking about anywhere from 3 to, I don't know what the upper limit is in the demo, I think it's somewhere around 36 enemies on screen at once, it's very intelligent about letting you know where they are. And I'm like, how are you going to do a Diablo-like game on the console? Like, how are the things that I've heard about this game going to be real? And be any good? Look, you can say what you want about all the dressing and about the presentation, and it's mostly true.
Yeah,
I think
a lot of it is valid
opinion,
points,
but it's mostly true. But fuck me if this dude did not hit the gameplay square the fuck on the head. The gameplay, the slaughter, wholesale slaughter
of lots of dudes,
of lots of things, is so on. It is right there, man. It is right down the center. Like, there's no way it could have been, but it really is. Like, all of the different combos and everything is so subtle and not impossible to pull off. If you can't do it, you just don't know how. If you look at the instructions and figure out how, it's actually, like, it's pretty easy. But it's really nothing but the two sticks and the two triggers. Like, that's it. You might jump or dodge with the buttons or something like that, but it's really very, very good. And, like, being able to press in certain directions and, like, slide across the floor to, like, fuck this thing up and then come back over here and, like, toss this thing in the air and then air juggle it with your pistols and then, like, toss this other thing into the air, jump up into the air and, like, fly across the room and shoot. Like,
it's pretty awesome.
And it's pretty tight. It's very, very tight. Like, and I can't... Obviously, we need to play the full game. I mean, I'd love to talk to Dyack directly about this, but I can't think of a better compliment to offer, particularly in the face of what's going to be a lot of negativity regarding how the package is delivered, than to say, obviously, you couldn't do this 100%. It is very unpolished. It is very unfinished. But more often than not, I feel like people, when they reach that point, say that, you know, we need to complete some degree of polish and leave the turd a turd. And go ahead and get it out the door. It's not what they're doing. I mean, assuming that nothing changes from the demo, the one thing you have to get right in a game, the gameplay, is really...
Yeah.
I recommend it entirely. It's a lot of fun. Now, if you don't like hack and slash, if you don't like this type of thing, you're not going to like it. Not everybody's going to like it, and that's fine. I don't care. But the gameplay is there. And Jesus Christ, dude, just in the demo, like the variation... Of like the different armor and all the different loot and the collectability and the put it on ability and all that other shit. Like there's a lot.
And there was a lot there that I didn't even get to play with because you just don't have enough time. And I'm like, there's all these other menus and things.
Yeah.
I want to get into this. What's going on?
And the puzzle, you can check your 360. There's all these other classes.
Yeah. The demo is evidently, there's only one of the five classes available. And the demo is evidently time locked so that after the date of the game's release, it opens up two of the other classes. So unplug your 360 from your Ethernet cable or get it off your wireless network and then manually kick the date forward to like the end of August or something and you'll have the other two classes, which I didn't learn until late this afternoon, so I didn't have a chance to try it. But
which is fun because I want to try this out.
Yeah, I really like the game, dude. I really like it. I can't wait to play it.
I'm trying to get Dyack on.
Yeah, I mean, I really hope for the sake of the game. I mean, I'll play it regardless because I had a lot of fun with the demo. But for the sake of, I hope they can get some more polish on it for their sake.
Yes.
I hope they have time to get get a little more.
I've heard even devs say that, you know, I was talking to, whenever the Burnout demo was released, I talked to a guy who used to work on Burnout. I said, yeah, they're releasing a demo. He's like, oh, you're playing something that's 5 months behind what's already out there.
Yeah, and so, you know.
Because it's a, you know, you're, that's a build that they worked on separately, which actually I don't think it was for Burnout. But for most games, the build you get in a demo is...
It's from, yeah. So it's not final code. Yeah,
like 3 months ago, I think, is the minimum on most of these. Yeah. Unless, of course, they go that extra mile, and usually the online, usually if they're giving you an online type, like the COD beta,
yeah,
there wasn't much, that was pretty much final for them. Or at least on those three maps. They probably were working on other things, but those three maps, you were getting the final game there. But for most demos, they're usually months behind, so there is still a chance that work is being done. We have Diacom, we can ask them.
Yeah. Well, I just, like I said, if you have to boil it down to anything, I can say that the game is full of problems, but the gameplay is solid. And it just feels to me like they recognized that they weren't necessarily going to be able to deliver this in the most polished state possible. But they did recognize the one important part of the game, and it's just there. Like,
yeah.
And I was very surprised. I was like, why? Maybe it's just in the mood for something like this, but no, this is like...
Maybe I accidentally
just did something really cool.
You do. You question yourself whenever you're taken aback that much by something that's apparently been, you know, drug across the coals and said, oh, this game sucks. Why do I like this? Everybody else hates it. What am I not...
No, but if you go out there and you listen to some decent open opinions, there really aren't that many people that didn't like the demo.
Yeah.
Complaints about the demo. Almost every one of us have them.
Well, it was everything before the demo. It was all these reviews that we got before.
It was a lot of horse shit that wasn't about playing a video game.
Yeah.
And that shit gets between you and just playing a fucking video game. So.
And this is one that I really look forward to play with other people. I think this is something that's going to, like Diablo, like any kind of game like this.
Yeah.
Where it's like.
Well, particularly with the variation in classes.
Yeah. Yeah. This is going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. So I think gameplay, even if they don't get the polish, it'll be fun gameplay wise. So I'll definitely be in on that action. And every now and then the environments are gorgeous, even if the people aren't.
Like I said, there's sometimes they're like, eh, this is weird, this is, it looks snow. Sometimes it was actually much more interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that was a pleasant surprise for me. And I'd had it sitting on the Xbox for like a week. But,
mine read Ring before I left.
Yeah, it did.
Sorry, mine died on Saturday. I was going to play Civ Rev and relax a little bit on Saturday before I got the flight on Sunday. And it red ringed on me, and so I got home on Thursday, and then Friday I went over to Best Buy and picked up the last of their pros, by the way.
Yeah.
They did not have any over there, and I walked around and found that that one chick whose husband I think works at... who always knows me when I walk in there. And I said, yeah, I'm looking for your pros. And she turned around over to where the TV section is, where they have one big TV on display in the center of the aisle. On that shelf on the bottom was their last pro that they had, the last premium that they had. So I picked it up. And, yeah, it's got the Falcon chipset in it, and I talked about this during one of our breaks, or even before we went on the air. I had everything in, and I was a little bit worried because I thought, what if it's the power supply? What if it's the power supply that's giving me problems with my 360, since I didn't have another power supply to change it out with? So what if that's the case? Should I open up this power supply and plug it in and just be safe? I thought, now let's go with it. So I turned it on, and it doesn't make... I had a launch unit, so I'm used to hitting the button, hearing a little bit of silence, and then a click of where that fan kicks in, or the motor, whatever the hell's going on in there. Hamsters start running really fast, and a lot of noise gets made. And I'm like, okay, I'm safe. I'm past the point of no return with red ring status, so I'm good. When you turn this on, you don't hear that. It's very quiet. And I thought it was about to give me red rings, and I thought the power supply fucked. But nope. Booted up fine. And went through the motions. Now I got to do the DRM thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you do.
The problem with that is, when I researched it, and I didn't have time. I was downloading the 2Human demo at the time. And it gives you 30 minutes to do everything. You only have 30 minutes to finish the process once you start it, as a security precaution. Otherwise, you got to go back and do it again. You got to start over. What you do is you do all this stuff, and then your 360 will download I guess basically your ownership to that box.
Right.
Then you have to go in account management, go to download history, re-download everything over again. It takes no time at all because you've already got it. You're just re-grabbing those licenses.
Oh, okay.
But everything, it's going to take me a while.
Yeah.
After having a launch unit, it's going to take me a while. So, but I'll eventually get it done. But I haven't done that. But see, because I had started the two-human download.
Yeah, you didn't want to.
I didn't want to start because I knew it was going to be a while before I did that. So I'll check that out. I played Civ Rev. Love it. It's great. Really enjoy it. And I will check out the...
Yeah, don't expect it. I think that a lot of me being blown away came from expecting absolutely nothing. And I don't think that I misread what was happening. And there was a bit of a learning curve with the combat. It's a little weird. But I'd like to hear what you have to say about it. Did you see Batman?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did?
I don't think anybody else has.
No, nobody else has. Me, you, Dana.
Can't really say anything.
I will stab you in the eye.
No. I would never blow anything at all. It was a very interesting movie.
Yeah.
I will tell you that it is not about Batman. I don't even mean that it's about these other guys. I mean, like, as far as the staging and everything, I was like,
he's not
where my emotions were, where the focus was. It was very strangely not there. And it was like, I've never been any kind of, like, Ledger fan. Like, I don't care. He didn't make kind of movies that I really care to watch. I've seen a few of them, and it's like, eh. Like, get that you got a little bit of skill.
I've never been interested in any of the thing he's done.
I've seen some stuff, and it's like, I see that you're...
It's not Brothers Grimm.
Brothers Grimm.
No, I've seen more than a few things of his. And it was like, what I'm saying is, fine, whatever. I never saw anything, and I'm not completely unfamiliar with people who are capable of good technical acting. I've seen enough of it. I've worked around enough of it, personally, to know when someone... has a lot of skill at the technique. Not just, I'm just going to be crazy, you know? And, like, the Joker's crazy, so I'm going to be crazy. You know, the Jim Carrey approach to the Riddler. Yeah. Like, you never know what you're going to wind up with.
Yeah.
He's possibly the most interesting thing I've seen on a movie screen in, I swear to God, I don't know how long.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So interesting. Every second he was on the screen was just like, this is, I really love watching what you're doing. It's so very, very good.
He's actually on screen a lot, but it just left you, it was like, I want more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will go back to that. I will go back and watch it again just for him. Not for the rest of it. It was fine. It was fine. I got my complaints, obviously. I have to. And under different circumstances, they would be complaints that would make me very angry. And like, Nolan did this thing over here with Batman in the last film. And I was like, oh, that's really awesome. I love how you handled the origin story. I love how you handled how he does his work.
I watched it before I went to see
it. Why he does his thing. Then over here, it's like, now he's doing this. And it's like, but you've decided he's this kind of Batman, not necessarily this kind. Like how he, his technique, his equipment, his reasoning, his methodology, the driving force. They don't necessarily match, in my opinion. And I would not have normally liked that. But I was so just utterly fascinated with what he was doing as the Joker. I mean, you know, stupid internet forum posts, fucking dig headlines and stuff start popping up about early Oscar buzz, you know, posthumous Oscar award for his Joker stuff. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger's doing the joke. It looks pretty cool. I've seen the trailer. He did the voice all right, you know, but come on.
And you know what? The voice didn't even matter.
Because it was so perfect.
Yeah.
It didn't stand apart from the rest of the performance. I watched it and I was like, fuck.
I remember.
I think a dead guy might win an Oscar for playing the Joker.
Yeah.
And it would be totally the right thing to do. It was really that good. I honestly can't gush about it enough. I cannot believe I liked I can't believe he was that good.
I wonder how much of it had to do with how much meds and drugs he was on. To take himself out of his own character.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. I know he was pulling some method shit, but I don't want to lay too much of that out there. Because a lot of what he was doing was very technical. He didn't just decide to go to a weird place and be weird on screen. He was very deliberate. So much of what he did was very practiced and very focused and very deliberate that he would never have been able to do it completely drug-addled. Or if he had just gone to some weird method zone or something like that. I was totally enraptured by his performance. So it was amazing. And I don't usually get that way about shit that actors do, you know. But it was really killer. I loved it.
I remember watching it. I went back to the very first teaser we heard because there was no visual.
The laugh.
It was just all we heard was I think he said something like people are gonna die or something like that. And I'm a man of my word. And then the laugh. Yeah. And we're like, oh, he nailed the laugh. This is promising.
Yeah.
But in the end, the laugh didn't matter.
No. But that's the thing. It wasn't. It wasn't like, oh, he has this signature laugh that he practiced and he got it, and that was it. Like, no, it wasn't, man. He was really good.
Yeah.
It's so good. Oh, I loved it. I loved it. And there were parts of the movie I really didn't like. There was some stuff in the editing I didn't really care for. Weird stuff, like, whatever. We cut away.
There's more I want to ask you about, but I don't know if that applies to Squirrel. I don't think it applies to Squirrel, because I think everybody knows, but it's very...
Well, don't ruin some. Don't just say something that could ruin something for somebody. All I can say is, like, I totally recommend it. If I only had to recommend it for him, still fine. I thought everybody else was okay. I mean, I'm not gonna say that he was the only good thing. Everybody else. Aaron Eckhart was really good.
Yeah.
What a great.
Everybody knows. Everybody in here knows Dent.
Yeah. Oh, you know Harvey Dent is. Like, it was no, it's really good. He was a great. But just him as Harvey Dent, not this other. Not any of that shit. Not any of that shit. Like, who he was as Harvey Dent and how they brought that character to bear on the story. It's really excellent. Yeah. Like, I was just very happy with everybody's work.
They did really good makeup effects.
Yeah. I much preferred Maggie Gyllenhaal over what's her name?
Yeah.
Well, who doesn't in general?
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's hard not to.
I much prefer just not having the character altogether.
It's fine in this one. Like, I don't think she should have been in the first one. And even though the fact that she was in the first one informs the fact that she's in the second one, I don't care that she's in the second one. Second one, fine. Have a chick. Just don't have his love interest in the origin story. I don't want it there. But that's an old thing. Good movie. A lot of fun. Killer performance.
All right, then.
Can't say anything more about that.
Yeah.
Just really good.
Great.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk about E3, but I guess, you know.
I'm tired.
We'll come to that some other time. The significance of it. As much as I said I want to go back next year or hope that we have more people go back, that I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
If anything. Will it change again? Will it morph one more time? Or will it just cease to exist? Will enough, you know, hell, before E3, companies were pulling out anyway.
Yeah.
Of the ESA.
I just don't see what the fucking...
Now they got a whole year to think about pulling out.
All right. Just simply from the developer, the publisher standpoint, I don't exactly see what the point is. You look at the size, look at the scope of what Microsoft added to E3. Like, they don't fucking need E3.
No, they can run their own deal.
They didn't need E3 to say any of what they said there. Blizzard sure as fuck doesn't need E3. They had this little tiny get-together over in Paris, and it didn't fucking matter that it wasn't a giant conference. It was their own thing. Did the news of Diablo 3 have any trouble making it around the globe? No.
Like, at all.
They don't need it. Like, and I can't imagine that, like, if this guy over here has a game to release, and he wants to make an announcement about it, that the internet's going to have any problem delivering that news to every corner of the world. What I can imagine is when you have, you know, a bunch of underfed, overscheduled journalists running around trying to make all of their appointments with individual people, that there are some people whose games aren't going to get even nearly the amount of coverage or distribution that they that the news would if it had simply just been released to the internet at large. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me. If Sony and Nintendo are going to perform the way they performed at a conference of this magnitude, and for what it's worth, if Microsoft's going to perform the same way, what the hell do any of them need with it?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me. The only thing, and Scott made a good point, is that it's an opportunity for a journalist to talk to an enormous number of people in a short span of time. That's the one thing it appears to be really good for.
But what I hope to gain from this, you'll hopefully hear in future episodes.
Yeah.
We will have so many people.
I have a little more participation from that. And that's great. I mean, that's a great thing for it to be there, but compared to the expense, even more so, like, this seems like a giant black hole, like, kind of sitting right in the middle of the year. Wherever you put it, it sort of, like, sucks shit in from all around. It's like, you're not going to release anything major leading up to it. Probably not going to release anything major going just out the other side of it. It was much worse when it was a bigger event. It was back in spring. Because that shit would happen in May, so you wouldn't get anything released in the first part of the year, from, like, February to June, because nobody wanted to, like, blow their E3 wad. You know, and it's just like, I don't know to what degree any of that is still true, but I just wonder if something of this size, if something of any giant magnitude like that, that kind of sits there in the middle of the whole gaming industry, is really worth getting all worked up over. Worth the expense, worth the time. Just give us the information, you know. Don't wait till you get to a big conference. I don't understand, like, what it... However impressive it might be, however interesting it might be to learn at that moment that FF13 is coming to the 360, what did you gain by doing it on this stage?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I don't know.
You know, Microsoft did one that they haven't done it since, but they did I think it was X06... I think is what it was. It was Xbox specific right before, I think right before the Tokyo Game Show. And it was nothing but Xbox specific. It was like a second E3 because X06 was in September.
Yeah.
And E3 at that time was still in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that's where they revealed the now dead Marvel MMO that they were going to do. PGR4, that's where we saw our first very long stuff of Assassin's Creed.
Right.
Saw a nice little play, a demonstration from what's her name? Jade was playing the game. And, you know, people were like, oh, watch this video here because you get a hint at the story.
Yeah.
Because there's something weird going on at this point. So, and it was good. You could announce all your stuff then. So, anyway, yeah, that's a lot. I forgot to go over, I know it's a sports thing and we don't care, but that NBA thing.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's some cool stuff.
And you're talking about Deer Hunter, man.
Whatever. Yeah, Deer Hunter. God damn it.
Don't worry about it.
Deer Hunter.
It's fine. I told you it was content rich. We got a lot of shit. It's been a big week.
I have to write this shit down because I really want to talk about Deer Hunter. All right, well, that's it. And, we'll try to get up Deer Hunter next week or whatever. So.
All right.